fertilizer pharma shock is a compounding crisis that ties energy choke points directly to crop yields and medicine supplies in a chain reaction Washington refuses to acknowledge.
And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal.
Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz has halted roughly one-third of global seaborne fertilizer trade and nearly half the world's urea, the critical nitrogen source for crop growth.
The U.S. is a net exporter of fertilizer, but we have big fertilizer problems in the United States because, remember, even if you're exporting it, and the price has gone up. So if you're from Iowa, where I'm from, You're paying a lot more for fertilizer this planting season, assuming you didn't buy it ahead of time, which, by the way, most of the farmers didn't. They've been in a little bit of a tight squeeze. Often they buy input, seed and fertilizer, prior to a year in advance of planting. Well, this year they didn't. So they're buying it basically not forward, but buying it on the spot market.
Urea prices from the Middle East have surged from under $500 per metric ton to around $700 or higher, with overall fertilizer costs up more than 50% year over year. Spring wheat planting could hit the lowest levels since 1970.
Setting the table on farmers is they were in bad shape prior to the war financially. They were getting squeezed. So as a result, they didn't do what they often do, and that's buy their inputs forward, buy them a year in advance.
Oh, wow. So they did that. They did that even before the crisis we're facing right now.
Yes.
Russia has suspended ammonium nitrate exports. China has restricted key blends to protect domestic prices, and India faces gas shortages threatening its urea output. With 318 million people already in acute hunger, analysts warn another 45 million could slide into crisis if disruptions last beyond June. Layer on the pharmaceutical strike, Iranian missiles hit Israel's Neot Hovav industrial zone, home to Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest generic drug maker, and Adama Chemical Facilities. Teva supplies affordable generics for cancer, heart, respiratory, and neurological treatments relied on by hospitals worldwide, especially in third world nations. Pre-existing shortages were already severe. Prices will rise, access will tighten, and chronic patients could face rationing or expensive switches in the months ahead. Iran's closure stranded Qatar's North Field output 33% of global helium. That also left 200 cryogenic helium containers at risk of total boil-off within weeks. No helium means no chips for AI GPUs or data centers, while India's 70,000 MRI machines and semiconductor memory supplies face immediate pressure. Jet fuel has at least doubled in the U.S., with airlines warning of dry inventories, cancellations, and rerouting. While diesel tightness grips Australia and South Korea, prompting wartime economic measures.
Chanju, what is the South Korean government doing to address all of these problems?
They've launched a full-scale emergency economic response involving the offices of the president, the prime minister, and more. They're also looking to pass a war supplementary budget, and they're urging the public to conserve energy.
The just-in-time global system that was built on cheap energy, fragile choke points, and the illusion of endless efficiency has had its table flipped over. Stock what you reasonably can, demand real domestic resilience over globalist fantasies, and build tolerance for uncomfortable truths that are imminent. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
A big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade, to take starting meds to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexshowstore.com.
It's kind of like training wheels or a tricycle, only it's our own president, Donald Trump, helping us with the show with a breaking tweet every single time. What's he saying?
Breaking tweet. We got something coming out of DJT's tweet. He says, with a little more time, we can easily open the Strait of Hormuz and take the oil and make a fortune. It would be a gusher for the world. President DJT.
This is Biden stuff. It'll be a gusher for the world. And see, here's the thing. He's coming up with this stuff. He's put it out there. How many times are you going to say the war is over? How many times are you going to say we can easily do this? We're clearly not able to get it done in this fashion he talks about.
Right. No, you're 100% right. And here's the thing. Take the oil. Taking the oil is something that can't just happen without an immediate conflict.
Right.
The acceleration of that.
Well, we say it can be done, so therefore it's going to be done. And I'm going to read the second one. I think this just came out around midnight. 12:26 a.m., April 3rd, 2026. Our military, the greatest and most powerful by far anywhere in the world, hasn't even started destroying what's left in Iran. Bridges next, then electric power plants. New regime leadership knows what has to be done and has to be done fast. President Donald J. Trump, and this is him talking about attacking the civilian infrastructure. Have you seen Hegseth and him talk about taking them back to the Stone Age where they belong?
I have, but here's the thing. It's not like Iran is not going to attack back in the equal capacity.
Sure.
It's just going to destabilize the whole region, as we know. Like, this type of rhetoric is dangerous, because you know what happens if Iran gets attacked and they get their civilian infrastructure taken out? Next thing they're going to do is they're going to look at the Gulf countries. They're going to be like, ooh. You know what? Those salinization plants look real tasty. Let's go take those
out. Right, and it's just the insanity of, like, for example, like Trump has said, oh, we're gonna hit their desalinization. We're gonna hit it hard. They get 3% of their water from that. Israel gets over 50%. Most of the Gulf countries are around the same. They get their majority or close
majority
to the majority of water from desalinization. Why would you do this?
And I'm not for creating these humanitarian crises just to make a point or make a stance.
Right.
I mean, there is real people that are involved at the ground level. And here's the thing. We're in America where we could never fathom something like this happening here. You're never going to think about a bomb flying over your head or potentially your water being shut off. It's just a completely different set of circumstances. And so that's why when I look at all these decisions and I see the people and Hegseth saying all these things, I'm like, dude, you go out there then.
Well, that's the problem with America's view on just like war and combat in general, because we haven't had a mainland invasion of the U.S. We haven't had a domestic war since the Civil War. Literally, we kind of just sit over here, and it's like Otto von Bismarck said, we have weak neighbors to our north and south and fish to our east and west. We sit over here kind of in like the apex of our power, and we look at all these other nations around the world that are just right next to each other. I mean, if you look at Iran, you got the Caucasus right there. You got West Asia right there. You got Europe right there. You got Africa right there. Literally everything. It's called the Middle East because it's the middle of the world. When the British look down at the map, they're like, oh, this is the Middle East. This is the middle of the entire planet. And we're sitting over here isolated for the past 250 years, just completely divorced from the concept of having to deal with these border disputes, these wars. And then we tell these people who fought a brutal war against Saddam Hussein, lost hundreds of thousands of people, oh, we're just going to crush you. When in fact, like, they even hurting us a little bit, which they have the ability to do, we're like, ow, stop, no,
NATO, help.
Exactly.
NATO, we need you.
NATO, come open the strait. Liberate it all. Liberate the oil.
Just, we know we started this war, but we need your help.
We didn't start the fire. Yeah, exactly. But here's what's going on this morning. This is unconfirmed, but this is massive. This is blowing up everywhere. Mario Newfall, who I consider to be a pretty reliable source, he's saying it's unconfirmed, but he is reporting on it. A U.S. C-130 is reportedly, this is speculation, flying low over Iran, dropping flares in a apparent search and rescue operation. Apparently, this is to avoid enemy heat-seeking missiles. This is happening during a large search and rescue op. Speculation, this is a claim, not confirmed yet, after Iran reportedly shot down a F-15E fighter jet. We see it's on the front page of Drudge now, so this is your breaking news in the morning. American Journal, you're hearing about this. We expect this probably to be confirmed later today, if not later this week. Now, I'm sure the U.S. doesn't want this to get out. What do you think they're going to be willing to do to cover this up if it happened?
I mean, you can't cover it up now. I mean, this is the beautiful part about information today.
Right.
You know, you're getting it as it happens, right?
Real-time info war.
You go back to the Vietnam era, they could hide a lot of the mistakes that were to happen back then. But now that you've got people with cameras, you've got people, look at that. I mean, you can't even avoid seeing that. That's a massive plane. So everyone knows when something's going that low. It means you're trying to avoid radar.
And they're deep inside Iranian territory as well doing this. That's what we believe the video clip is of. Again, this is all unconfirmed, but this is what's happening. And this is the thing. We had a little discussion with someone last night. We won't get into it too much. But basically, they made apparent statements about the conflict, and now they say, like, everything they say is not to be taken seriously. It's all a joke. But ultimately, this is not a laughing matter.
No.
It's not a laughing matter.
This is what I tried to tell him. I said, look, First Amendment, right?
Sure.
You can say whatever you want. You can make jokes about whatever you want, but you do not have the right to, you know, control what the reaction comes
from. Well, the thing is like, you can go, oh, it's a joke, ha, ha, ha. Even if it is a joke, you're signaling support for what's going on right now. How do you think that pilot that just got shot down feels about that? That's a big ha, ha joke, you see. And I think that's how Trump and Hegseth view it too. You know, like, lives are just scraps to be tossed off the plate. It's just, you know, we got plenty of food. We got plenty of soldiers in the refrigerator. Hey, we got these here. It's a little inconvenient, you know.
Well, yeah, there's a lack of empathy.
Sure.
That's the problem. There's a lack of empathy at the highest levels because there's so much distance between them and the decision that they're making. It goes from the president down to the secretary of defense, and then it goes down to a colonel, like all the way down. And you're not watching the footage of, like, the guy that you just sent to the front lines to get killed.
That's right. That's right. And Thucydides, I mean, the ancient Greeks talked about this, like, why do men of power send men off to die at war? Because they can't. It's just because they can't. It's almost an unemotional decision. It's just choosing to use someone for a purpose.
And you know what's interesting now? It used to be a lot easier for there to be a clear winner and loser in these conflicts. Like, you go to
war.
I think World War II was, like, the last time you had a traditional war where you could clearly tell, okay, this guy won, this guy lost. But then also the narratives that are created after the victor wins, right? Those can't happen again, right? Because Churchill, we know about Winston Churchill, he was responsible for millions of deaths.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right, but victors write the history books, and this is what we see, and this is what we talk about just on the Gray Area American Journal as well, is there really aren't any heroes around.
Yeah.
And when someone's trying to tell you the story or sell you the narrative, oh, it's the hero against the evil villain, usually that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally point that out empirically to prove it, but I want to go to this because it ties into what we're talking about here. For first time ever, Army Chief of Chaplains Fire, that's like the head priest, preacher guy, right, in the military, by Hegseth. And this is from BaptistNews.com. It was hard to find this reported anywhere. There's plenty of people talking about, oh, they fired the general. They fired the general. And yes, that is a big deal. The general probably didn't want ground invasion. It's probably why they let him go. But they're firing the spiritual guy. Pete Hegseth made national headlines April 2nd for firing General Randy George, the Army's chief of staff. But on the same day, Hegseth removed Army Major General William Green, who had served in the post since 2023. Traditionally, a person serves as Army chief of chaplains for a 4-year term. No reason was given publicly for the dismissal. Green's unusual dismissal came among a shakeup of top Army brass directed by Hegseth, who, of course, is an avowed Christian nationalist, really Christian Zionist nationalist, who believes America's war in Iran is sanctioned by God. And this is just publicly stated.
Well, what it is, Rex, is it's clearing house. Let's get the yes men in there.
Yes.
Let's pile this up with yes men. Let's get the guy
it's
in here.
It's high-five time. They just run around in circles high-fiving each other.
Here you go, Mr. President.
Exactly.
I'll do this for you. Give me that raise. Give me that promotion. And so the people who want to speak out against the conflicts themselves, because a lot of these generals have lived through many of these conflicts and they know what works and doesn't work. So the moment that you get online, and this is speculation because we don't know.
Sure.
We really don't know the real conversation that happened behind closed doors.
Sure. Well, look at this. I think we kind of do know some of it. I want to read this to you. This is, I think we've covered it before on the show. This is from The Guardian. U.S. troops were told war on Iran was all a part of God's divine plan. U.S. military commanders have been invoking extremist Christian rhetoric, Zionist rhetoric about biblical end times to justify involvement in Iran war to troops. The MRFF, which is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, says it has received more than 200 complaints from service members across all branches of the armed forces, including the Marines, the Air Force, and Space Force. One complainant, identified as an NCO in a unit that could be deployed at any moment, against Iran, told the organization in a complaint that the commander had urged us to tell our troops this was all a part of God's divine plan and had specifically referenced, and I got a little bit more, numerous citations out of the book of Revelations referring to Armageddon and the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And this is the quote that gets my ire up. This is the thing that makes me go crazy. This is absolutely unacceptable. And in the Bible, it literally says anyone who says they know when I come back, don't listen to them, like they're evil. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go and get into it right here. He said, and this is the guy instructing this guy to give his troops religious advice, not religious advice, religious cult advice. He said that President Trump has been anointed by Jesus.
Oh my.
To light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to earth. That complaint was filed on behalf of 15 troops, 11 Christians, one Muslim, one Jew. Universally. People recognize this as
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Didn't the Bible talk about wolves in sheep's clothing?
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. I've talked about this and I want to reiterate.
Sure.
The people who are using religion to push their narrative are the worst kind of people.
Sure.
And the reason is, and I've said this before as well, Christianity, whatever religion you practice, religion is one of those things where it can be either be the best thing in the world or it can be used in a negative way.
Well, they use it ultimately to say, because we're on this divine mission, we get to dehumanize you. And that's the problem.
But the thing is when you tie it to a religion or a spiritual aspect, you know, you're giving it this divine, you know, will to happen. And then you're trying to tap into that spirituality of that person when it doesn't connect. It's like trying to put a circle inside of a square when these people know deep down. Jesus wouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely.
Jesus wouldn't tell me to go out there and kill a bunch of people who didn't deserve to die.
Yes.
Jesus didn't say double tap the school of 180 girls.
That's right.
Right?
That's
right. I mean, I know
true.
The Old Testament was a little violent, but that's the reason why they came out with the New Testament, because they realized, hey, violence doesn't work anymore.
That's true. And it's also a situation where you got people in the Old Testament 2,000 years ago doing human sacrifice, and they're like, yeah, kill the people killing their children. That's a little bit more reasonable than saying, hey, Jesus is going to come back, so we got to blow up a school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you can say that's hyperbole. You can say that's crazy. That's literally their statement. They say the war is to light the signal fire to anoint Trump to bring back Jesus.
People are waking up. You can't propagandize us anymore.
No.
The fact that I'm proud of those soldiers doing those reports and pushing out, because they're watching everything in real time. They have access to their phones.
Sure.
They're on social media. They know what's happening just like the rest of us. And they know this war is not something that anybody wants.
Sure. Well, this is like Scientology. This is like Heaven's Gate. This is like any one of these cults, right, where they think they're going to drink the Kool-Aid and the aliens are going to come beam them up.
Yes.
It's built off of a worship of insanity and death at the end of the day. This will not produce a positive result from the world. Even if you said, all right, the U.S. empire is going to fight a brutal one-year war against Iran, which they will win, and they take over the country and greater Israel, whatever. For decades and decades and decades, the Iranian people that need to be liberated will suffer under the destroyed infrastructure, no water, no electricity, no roads. They're blowing up bridges every day.
Yep.
Is life materially better for those people because he says, oh, in America, we're going to make so much money off the war? We hear this a lot. It's not, see, it's both about God and it's about money at the same time. How does that work in your mind?
It doesn't. Those two things cannot be mutually in the same room.
Yes, not mutually exclusive.
They can't be mutually exclusive. And when you have the greed, the money, all of those different things, I mean, the Bible talks about these things.
Sure.
It talks about being weary of false prophets.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing a lot of false prophets. We've seen that his spiritual leader, that lady
Paula
who's just
White.
Like, the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, she does.
The blood of Jesus.
She does like the Chidori from Naruto and like attacks and sends the evil spirits out.
And she's like,
yeah,
we need to bless him. Bless him.
It's
worse than that. For $10.99, you can support this war. Go ahead and donate behind this paywall.
Oh, dude, it's not even $10.99. Here, let me do my best impression. For $1,000 seed, if you plant a $1,000 seed today, you will get the blessing. Let me tell you.
Amen.
Those people are the most evil people on the planet. She goes around to poor old people and is like, give me the last dimes. Give me the last dimes of your pension. Let me have what you have. I will do a miracle for you. And they're saying the same thing about this war.
So beautiful, because I'm thinking about this. They're asking for that 10%. They're like, that 10% belongs to the Lord, which also belongs to this war.
It belongs to me.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, some people don't have that 10% now.
Right.
We're creating inflation. We're creating all of these things that are crunching the American person.
Look at that. She's got QVC. You can get the Crystal Cross for a donation of $1,000 or more.
How much you want to bet this?
Pause it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, Tim. All right. Go back just a little bit. All right, we got it up there on the screen. I want to show that prayer list. See, this is the catalog. This is what you pay for. You get what you pay for. You get an angel assigned to you. You get to be an enemy to your enemies. That's kind of hood, to be
honest.
What is
an angel assigned to you?
Yeah, well, she controls them, apparently. The angels are demons in this case. Give you prosperity, take sickness away, give you long life. We're not allowed to make supplement claims like this. I can't tell you the supplement's going to make you live forever. I mean, you give her $1,000, she says you live forever. That's the reward. Cause increase for you. Does that mean I get fatter as well? A special year of blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, it only lasts 1 year, then you immediately die.
For only a low price of $1,000, you can get a blessing that lasts for an entire year.
That's right. Well, does it start when you're charged? Here's the thing that I want to know. When the blessing runs out after a year, do you immediately die? Like, do you have to?
No. That's not a part of the deal. The deal says you live forever is what she said. Well, $1,000.
All right. I'm looking at this now. Maybe we can get it up one more time. I'm looking at this bill right now for what you get for $1,000, and this looks great, right? You want all the things on this list, but maybe you don't have $1,000. She needs to get with the time. We need Klarna to come in, and you need to be able to make payments on your
Klarna for the church.
Yes.
That's a new business idea.
Klarna
for the church.
That's the new meme for today. That's the new meme format of me and you doing the thing.
And here's the thing. We're not sitting here mocking the word of God.
We're defending God right now.
And we're mocking the people who are making these awful situations for the people who don't know what's going on. Look at that cross. How much you want to bet that thing was made in like Shanghai, China?
That came out, Indonesian factory.
Yeah. And she's saying,
made in Iran.
And they're trying to make it seem like you're getting something like fantastic with this, you know? So I look at these things and I'm like, there are people who actually believe these people.
Right. And well, that's the thing about all this. We can laugh at it. We can point it out. There are people, and we've all been taken advantage of in various points of our lives. There are people with a lot of mental health problems that feel like they need to give all this money away. And this is one of the predatory groups of people that take money away from people that want to give their money away. And really got to reach out to people. If you're listening to this broadcast right now and you've given donations to a kind of like name it and claim it person, I would just advise you to keep that money for yourself and your family and to just read your Bible, because you don't need these people to do anything.
And I can even do it.
God is with you every second of every day of your life until you die and after. You never leave God.
Yeah. Look, we could do a deep dive, and maybe we do this, maybe we don't, right?
Okay.
You can call me out.
Sure.
But we can see where all of these pastors who are flying around in mega yachts.
We gotta do it.
That's
great.
And private jets.
Yeah.
Like there are people who are taking the tithes and offerings and they're just living lavishly on your dollar. So it's just, it's the lowest type of criminal.
Really?
You know, in my mind, because you're taking something so sacred to somebody where they're truly trusting you because they want to be closer to God. It's something that's dear and near to them, because spirituality is one of those things that's almost essential pillar that gives people some lightness and will to survive.
Sure. Well, here's the thing that's so disgusting. It's not a person like me going, I'm flawed, I'm a sinner, I'm wicked, but I love God and I want you to love God too. She goes, I am the angel general. I command the angels to go to you. I send the power of rain. I send the power of fire. Like literally just like flopping around. That's in my view, spitting in the face of God.
It is.
To do something like that. And
it is.
We call it out because this isn't just somebody that's floating around randomly that we just point out on social media and say it's funny. She goes to the White House, Tim.
She goes to the White House.
She gets input. We don't get input. She gets input. What do you think of that?
And she's doing it to just glaze Trump. I mean, she knows that that's the president. There's a lot of... good picture. Yeah,
she's
getting great input there. You know, she realizes she's like an arm's length, and she sees this as a power play.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So when I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, when we look at all these situations... I just want people to wake up. That's all we're
trying
to do.
Yeah, wake up! Good morning, wake up! Welcome to the American Journal. Do not suffer this anymore. Go ahead.
No. That's pretty much the point that I wanted to make.
Yeah. Well, that's powerful. We got a lot more coming up. I want to go ahead and read this while we stay on topic. Pete Hegseth's top aide is spreading rumors for one reason. This is from the New York Post. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's top aide, Ricky Buria, told colleagues last year that he and his boss donned disguises and went out drinking together. What, does Pete Hegseth tape on a little fake mustache and go out there and
get hat and the trench coat?
Wow. Okay. A juicy bit of gossip that's widely believed to be a lie and recklessly planted. Ooh, see, it's not that they go get drunk. It's to catch the leakers. You see, it's just, come on, man. We know what you're about. Pete likes to drink. Mm. It's not illegal. It's not a crime. Go wear a fake mustache. You don't have to lie about it.
He's stressed. You know, he's got to take that edge off. You know, he probably feels a lot of pressure because he knows he's lying
on
a day-to-day basis. That has to hit your conscience at some point. You have to know internally, unless you're like a sociopath where, you know, these are things that you truly believe to your core. But I don't see that. I think a lot of these people are just trapped in a system where they feel like, okay, I just have to be part of it. Otherwise, I have no future.
Well, there's one friend that never leaves you. You want to know what his name is?
What is his name?
Jack Daniels.
Ooh.
Jack Daniels. So he's hanging out with Jack Daniels. He's probably putting on the fake mustache.
Tennessee whiskey.
They're saying, oh, it's to catch the leakers. Oh, it's to catch the leakers. Look, here's the thing. We don't judge here, okay? But you are the Secretary of War, so that means we do judge. Why are you putting on the fake mustache and going out to the bar?
Well, he can't be caught, Rex.
Yeah, it's true.
He can't be caught. He's a man. He's our leader.
It's like a kid playing hide and seek, and it's like hiding behind a tree, and you can see him like, you can't see me. You can't see me. And
I'm not here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not here.
Doing the John Cena, but we're going to be right back. I want to remind you guys, thealexjonesstore.com is the place to go for the phenomenal vitamins, minerals, supplement nutrients, everything you want. Get it right now. Get T3 iodine, get methylene blue, get the phenomenal sales promotions we have available for you. Subscribe and save on every single product. Look at it. It's just worth doing. If you're taking the products already, or if you're taking a break from them, why not try them again? Thank you so much. We're going to be right back with more news, current events, and a deep dive in the second hour.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to thealexjonesstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner zeolite detox defense. Advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Here we got Fishback joining us in the third hour, but you're gonna want to stay here for the whole show, because just in 30 minutes we got the deep dive coming up. What's the deep dive on?
Deep dive today, what are we talking about?
Ukraine.
Yes, we're talking about the Ukraine conflict, because that's the one that doesn't get as much attention anymore because Iran has taken all the headlines.
Right.
But when I look at the Ukraine war, we always talk about current events, but I wanted to understand the context and the history, because this isn't the first time. And sure, I want to understand, why does Russia have so much beef with America and vice versa?
Sure.
and beyond the Cold War? And I'm just going to give context to all of that in the deep dive. And you're going to be shocked at some of the things that you're going to see. And it's going to make perfect sense why 2014 happened and 2022 happened. That's pretty much what the deep dive is.
Well, me and you have actually had a lot of discussions on Ukraine. And I convinced you, I think, in a little respect, to look into it a little bit more and to just make the calculation of, like, what's going on here with NATO. And that's going to be the real discussion that we're going to have.
Yeah, let me just highlight.
Yeah, sure.
Before I really dove into it, I kind of had almost like this Cold War mentality where I was like, well, Russia clearly is the enemy.
Right.
You know, like I was propagandized, and this isn't for me to say like, oh, well, Russia doesn't have its own issues. It does. I mean, they're not perfect.
But we look at everything.
But like, I do now see the bigger picture of why they were pushed to do the things that they were, that they ended up
sure.
doing. So, yeah, that's what the deep dive, and we'll do that at the second hour. You sure. guys don't want to miss that.
I want to go ahead and go to this beauty of a clip that we have of Trump talking about, you know, we've heard we were going to get all sorts of economic stimulus. They're rolling out an offer of another $2,000 that we're never going to see again. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
With Kevin Hassett on that, or do you think you can do that unilaterally?
No, I don't think we would have to go the Congress route, but, you know, we'll find out. The reason we're even talking about it is that we have so much money coming in from tariffs that we'll be able to issue at least a $2,000 dividend and also pay down debt for the country. But we'd do a $2,000 dividend to the people of our country. We'd probably set a limit of, you know, income limit where it made sense. But we will be able to make a very substantial dividend to the people of our country. I believe we can do that without Congress.
Mm. This is another nothing burger, man.
That's what I was saying.
Are we still serving nothing burgers, or are we out?
I was feeling hungry for one this morning. It looks like we just got one in here. Here's the thing. How many times are you going to promise to help the American citizen out? How many times are you going to say you're going to make things more affordable, or you're going to make the price of goods go down? The price goes up, and then you promise us more imaginary money we're not going to have. You don't have to do this.
Well, I mean, we were promised. Remember that Doge dividend?
Right.
Doge doesn't even exist anymore.
What's that? Never heard of it.
Doge dividend?
No, well, no, just Doge. I never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, look, they said after all the savings we're going to have for you guys, right, after we get all the corruption and drain the swamp, we're going to give you guys some money.
Right.
And not a single dollar has hit my bank account. Has it hit your bank account?
Absolutely not. But this is another victory. This is another win. I was told by Cat Turd, who I follow and subscribe to all the opinions of, I was told by Cat Turd that we're panickins if we talk about Doge.
Mm. Well, let me jog your memory back to something, okay? Because Biden did the exact same thing. We go back to 2022, 2023. Do you remember right before the midterms? It was 2022. Right before the midterms, they were promising to absolve the student loan debt.
Mm.
That was a nothing burger. I believed, like, I had student loan debt. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get all my debt forgiven. This is amazing.
This is amazing.
And then they burn you so bad. And like, people were planning on that. They actually were like not paying their loans back because they thought they were going to get repaid.
Right.
And they end up getting screwed. And so my whole point with that is you're just getting railed on both sides. Just people trying to position themselves to make you feel good before the midterms. This is a midterm play, man.
Interesting. And I'm sure some economists, or maybe even you, Tim, maybe we can go back and forth and argue on this. I always thought the easiest way to deal with the student loan problem is to just remove the protection the loans have to where you can just charge them on bankruptcy. Because right now you can't discharge a student loan on bankruptcy. Any other kind of debt, you can, but
you're
just
right.
For those, you're locked in forever. Screw those companies.
I have no idea how the university lobbies were able to pull that one off.
It's crazy.
And then you just think about the predatory lending that comes behind that, right? You can't as a kid at 18 go and take out a loan for $300,000 on a house, but you can do that on an art history degree at Harvard.
Sure.
Make it make sense. So we have all these systems in place in which they give you promises, they say we're going to do this for you, and then we also have on the other side a lot of these programs that are actually just making it worse for the American people. So I'm just trying to understand, when are we going to stop getting these nothing burgers?
Sure, and we think about it, you're an engineer, you made the calculation, Tim, and you're like, I need to go to school, I'm going to have to pay for it, and I might have some debt from it later, but I'm going to be able to pay this off because of my career. It gives me upward mobility, stuff I don't have before not being a professional, now that you're a professional. And you look at the vast majority of people that go to college, that's just not true. You get drunk, get the literature or communications degree or whatever, and then 4 years after the fact, maybe they're in marginally less debt than you, maybe the 10, 20 grand less debt, and they're never going to pay it back.
Never going to pay it back.
But
that's something you die with.
I was told a lot growing up that you have to go to college for the experiences. It's all about the experiences. I've been to plenty of college parties. The only experience is just people puking on each other and breaking glass bottles.
So let me give you some context here. The experience.
The networking.
The networking, those types of things. Freshman year, you have fun. It's a blast. A Okay. Sure. But you're taking the mindset of like an 18-year-old and not thinking about what he's going to feel like by the time he's 21, 22.
You're going to feel different. I'm letting you know.
Yeah. You're going to feel different after you graduate when life really hits you.
Right.
And so again, this comes down to us having these broken systems in place to where we're not actually teaching people, okay, not all degrees are created equal, Rex.
Right.
You go in. I graduated with a bunch of people outside of my engineering degree. Most of those people, some people are librarians. I'm like, you went to school to become a librarian?
Yeah.
Is that really what you did?
And there are things that if you put the same time into, even if it's a trade or even if it's not that, even if you're just like working at Walmart or whatever, you work at Walmart for 4 years, you do a perfect job, bam, you're middle management. You know, and you're making good money. You're making 60, 70, 80 grand a year. The same as somebody in that librarian position.
Yeah. And I was about to say, like, some people coming out of college are making the same as if you didn't have a degree, but college isn't all bad. It just depends on what degree you go for and where there's a good ROI on that investment. But now the ROI is not balancing out because the debt just keeps going higher and they're building new cool buildings. We've got the new student art center.
Yeah.
And it's like, this building's going to cost us $1 billion and we're going to raise your tuition up another 10% this year.
It really is. We see this pricing out of just the American from American society. We see this around colleges or around education in general, around healthcare, around how we live in general. You see people in Austin will be jogging down the street and they'll be wearing like $5,000 of wearable electronics and have a Rolex on their wrist and they'll run right by a homeless person that's bleeding out in the street. Now you can look at that as a microcosm and say, well, you know, one person's really down on their luck. One person worked really hard their whole life, has all the technology, whatever. The wealth gap and the wealth disparity in this country just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Trump comes out and he says, oh, we're going to give you $2,000. What is $2,000? A rent for a month and a half? And you say, that helps a lot of people. That's true. Yeah. And we want that to happen. I want the check.
Well, here's the thing. The alternative was, you know, you give people the stimulus paychecks, and then that also made it worse, too. So it's like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but you got to teach a man to fish. Don't give him the fish.
And by giving them the money, you inflate the economy. And it's just, there's no free lunch. There, you can't have your cake and eat it, too, is the old saying.
We're not making as much off of these tariffs as you think. And also, didn't the Supreme Court come out with a case that said you're not allowed to do this anymore?
I don't like it when Tim's racist. I don't like it when Tim's racist like that. Infinite money, it's made 90 trillion.
Have Trump rage.
The Dow is 50,000, like you always say.
Yeah.
Let's go to this. Let's go to we want to talk about this hypocrisy, this double standard of the government always having money for war and all these things but never having money for you. Let's roll the Rubio Trump clip. I believe that's clip number 3.
Imagine an Iran that instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country.
We have to take care of one thing, military protection. The United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things.
He said he wouldn't cut them. He said he wouldn't cut Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay, so that speech that I'm seeing there, that was him supporting daycare?
That's him saying we don't have the money for daycare. We have to fight all these wars. Let's go back and let's play the Trump thing again. Tim, I want you to take this in. I want to get your take.
Let me take this in because I got confused there for a second.
I think you got something to say on this.
That instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country.
We have to take care of one thing, military protection. The United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things.
Your thoughts?
Okay. I didn't catch the military protection thing. Yeah, I mean, just look at the discretionary spending budget.
Right, 49%.
It was 47% is going towards the defense spending. And then you've got like this little like 3% here for like maybe education, another 3% here for like housing and urban development to where you don't have to like – drive over a pothole. We surely do have enough money. This is gaslighting.
Well, he says it's not possible to pay for the daycare. The U.S. couldn't do that. The states have to do that because we're fighting these wars. I mean, it's not possible for us to pay for daycare, but it is possible for us to spend $500 billion in Ukraine and Iraq.
Rex, 40 Tomahawk missiles would probably be more than enough to cover the daycare or the cost on a weekly basis for an entire year for a family.
Maybe let's take the radars as an example. Because with the radars, you have $20+ billion of inventory that's been destroyed if you combine that with the planes and everything else that's been wrecked.
Let's read that.
Let's read that.
So he's saying providing daycare for every child is roughly costs $140 billion annually. Okay. And then the national cost reaching over $3,100 annually. Yes. Yeah, so $140 billion.
Well, they could pass 200
every
billion.
Single kid.
Yeah.
Okay, but we can ask. Yeah, you're right. We guys, we need 200 billion right now.
And here's the thing. That's just paying for it all outright. If you subsidize it and make it affordable for people, it's not nearly as much money.
No. But like, even if you were to take the whole thing, the 140 billion, you were to prioritize and just say free child care for everybody.
Sure.
You wouldn't even touch the spending we just asked for.
Can you imagine, Tim, how outrageously popular that would make anybody who implemented that program?
No, but you know what would happen? Some lobby, Lockheed Martin, is like, that's ours.
That's our money.
That's our money.
Yes.
How dare you try to help out that single mom of four who needs to still go to work and find somebody to watch her kid?
That's right.
My Tomahawks need some commission.
We got to refill the missile order. We got to get that done. That takes priority. This is everything we're talking about and more. I want to go to the Theo Von Joe Rogan clip because Theo Von is voicing everything. You're voicing everything. I'm voicing just the pain of the Americans having to deal with this. And Rogan's just like, just come hang out with me and my billionaire friends. So we'll just go ahead and watch that clip now.
It's all just a cat and mouse game. People are like, we'll elect the Democrats next time. It's like, but it's all the same shit has been happening forever. They haven't been helping anybody forever. They're letting fucking politicians slurp on kids. All of our fucking money goes to Israel and they're using it to fucking genocide people. It's like everybody is scared out of their wits right now. It's like our religious leaders are afraid to speak out. And it's like it's a time where it's like Satan is amongst us and our religious leaders are fucking talking about bullshit at the poll. It's just like, what is going? I don't know, man.
We gotta get you off those antidepressants, son. You're losing your fucking marbles.
You think I am?
Come hang out with us. Just chill
out. I'm here.
So, sorry for all the swearing. I apologize to the crew. Bye-bye radio license. But here, it's Good Friday as well. So, Theo Von voices his concerns. Rogan's like, you should come hang out with us. Rogan, you're worth a billion.
Well, I mean, like, I think Rogan understands in the back of his mind. He's like, I don't think he knows what to do. He's like, you might as well just come hang out with us because we don't really have a solution. Now, I look at that and, you know, Theo Von is a comedian, but like for him to get serious about this says a lot about the state of where we're at in the country.
Sure, absolutely. You know? Well, I mean, he's just voicing the everyman perspective. That's what being a man of the people is all about. Now, I think the reason why Rogan is so popular and all those people that came up really in that 2000s, 20-teens era of like original podcasting is because it felt like you were talking to somebody real, someone that was connected to society, someone that was going through the same things as you, fans of the same sports and stuff as you, just kind of like a common man's perspective. But now we get into it and it just seems like those people are completely divorced. And you got Theo Von, who's really that old guy, that old spirit of podcasting, who's talking about the will of the people. And, let's just talk about sports, man. Isn't that crazy that wildlife video? No. And this is why I got so mad yesterday. Like, if you're going to talk about serious topics, then let's be real about the stuff going on in the world.
Well, also the thing that I was making, and we're referring to kind of this debate that we had with somebody on our show last night, big person. And the point that I was making and Rex was making was he was making a lot of jokes about what was happening in society. And I said this, if you have such a big platform, and I'm not sitting here trying to tone police you, but sure. If you have the ability to push the right narrative and that you can actually influence people in the right decision, why not take that conscious effort?
I think the thing for me is that you say it's a joke. I engage in dark humor. I don't want to joke police or anything, but nobody's laughing. No, no, the people that are dead aren't laughing. Like when you say you want to destroy a country and you don't say that's a joke and you're going to make that position, you're going to make that claim. People around the world are crying right now. And this is a very serious time to be alive. It's a very serious time to push the country forward. We also heard that like, well, when you get older, you'll understand the presidents are just all bad. No, absolutely not.
But you
30,
know,
40, 50, 60 year olds just say this stuff all day. Like we're demanding a higher standard.
But they call you, you know how outrageous this is. They call you deranged sometimes and they're like, Rex, how can you
you're
be anti?
Angry.
They're like, how could you be anti-war? And it's like, come on. How could he not? I mean, we've seen this play out for decades now to where we're in the same merry-go-round and we just want to get off the ride.
We do. Just
let me off the ride. I've been on this for ever since I was born. I'm 27 years old. The United States has been in some new conflict.
Sure.
We haven't gotten off this hamster wheel since I've been alive. And I'm sure a lot of you guys at home, people who are even twice my age have also been on this merry-go-round for 50 plus years.
Well, and that's the thing. When does this stop? When does it stop? It stops when we get off that hamster wheel that Tim is talking about. And that's a very simple calculation. It takes three moves. You stop moving. You look down at your feet. You take one step off. Then you take the other step off. Then you're off the hamster wheel. All we're asking the government to do, we're not even asking them to like build a moon base or do anything crazy. All we want them to do is stop funding death.
But the thing is I'm feeling like America's just afraid to let go of the wheel. Because they think China and Russia are gonna step in.
They think
and
they're gonna treat us like we've treated them.
That's the secret sauce there.
Sure.
Because we know we've treated people badly, and if we allow China to get any edge over us, they could give us the same treatment.
And that's very profound because that's what America has done. America's violated the golden rule. And this is why we're in the quagmires and problems that we're in today is because we haven't treated other nations how we want to be treated.
Well, and I'll add this, right? A lot of these conflicts are actually conflicts between all the people in positions of power. They all have beef with each other. The people, the average person does not have beef.
Collateral damage.
So like the only solution I see here is all the people who have been involved in these conflicts, and I'm talking about China, Russia, the Middle East, like those people need to be like switched out with new fresh meat that actually, you know, is just an average person that understands. And I'm saying like also being qualified. I'm not sitting to take somebody random and just put them in that position.
Sure.
But again, it's just like we need a refresh of the mind to where we have a clean slate. Everybody can be like, all right, guys, we know we've all screwed each other over here. I think it's time to stop this and let's cooperate here. America, we come into the table, we're like, hey, we'll stop bombing you, we'll stop threatening you, destabilizing your country, just promise not to retaliate. And that promise that they're afraid of the other country not giving back, I think that's why we're continuing to go in the circle.
Sure, and it's like the harder you try, it's like a Chinese finger trap, the harder you pull, the harder it is to get out. The real secret to get out of the Chinese finger trap is to relax and actually push it in more, and then it releases on its own.
But the solution isn't what Biden did, right, where Biden had no backbone and he was just taking it, right? Like that's not the solution either, because when Biden came in and they had no real plan and they thought they were doing something with the whole Ukraine, and then
Operation My Butt's Been Wiped by Joe Biden. Yes, exactly.
It didn't work out because there also has to be a level of respect there too.
Sure.
People, in order to listen to you, do need to respect you, but you don't have to get that respect through pure force alone.
And we're given these extremes. We're given Biden, and then we're given Trump. And Biden does one war, Trump does another war. We're asking for in the middle. We're asking for Goldilocks. We don't want the porridge that's too cold or too hot. We're asking for the thing that's just right. And I feel like we all know what that is because he ran on it, and that's what we voted for, man. Yeah. You know, and that's what's so heartbreaking.
It is. It is heartbreaking. We got anything else here? Because
If you want to go ahead and throw up that Chinese nuclear weapon article, so that ties into what we're talking about.
It does tie into what we're talking about. And you just see, again, these situations are playing out now. And it's just we're turning up the oven. And so now we're seeing China is expanding their nuclear arsenal. Rex, I think we're in another Cold War here.
We were in a Cold War for a long time, and it's getting hotter as things progress. I mean, the number one thing that America's done geopolitically that's been damaging just for the state of the world and the survival of the world, really, is the removal of the New START treaty. The Russians desperately tried to get us to agree to a year-long extension to it. We said no. Now there is no limit on our nuclear weapons program, and that's going to be the same for the other countries as well. That's called proliferation. It's evil. Nuclear weapons are real and they are evil. We need to get rid of them. Arms control.
Yes. Let's go ahead and read this article. I'll give it to you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Satellite images reveal major expansion of Chinese nuclear facilities in Sichuan. China has been secretly expanding its nuclear weapons infrastructure in Sichuan province in recent years, according to a CNN investigation. Based on satellite imagery and government documents, as global arms control agreements weaken, and that means the U.S. leaving them, and geopolitical tensions rise, the development center around sites in and around Zetong County, which satellite images show extensive construction, including the demolition of villages, that's big construction, and the building of new facilities linked to nuclear weapons production. In one case, residents in Sichuan were evicted from their homes in 2022, with authorities citing it as a state secret. So now it's just out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. More than 3 years later, satellite imagery shows the village flattened and replaced with structures supporting nuclear-related activities. One of the most significant additions is a dome-shaped structure that's around 36,000 square feet. The reinforced facility is surrounded by concrete and steel, equipped with radiation monitors, blast doors, and ventilation systems designed to contain radioactive materials such as uranium and plutonium.
Okay. So I've just, again, because we're the new guys on the block, we haven't lived through the Cold War era.
Sure.
I just don't see the point of what, I mean, nuclear weapons are a deterrent, but how many do you need in order to actually deter someone from actually attacking you?
Sure.
You know, the 1,000 plus. I mean, how many nukes does it take, guys? Can you look this up? How many nukes would it take to actually eradicate the entire
life
Earth?
On Earth? Yeah.
I'm just very curious. I know we're coming up on a break here, but it's just, I can't see it. Like, you wouldn't even be able to launch 1,000.
Well, a weapons increase is the next best thing, because they say in the case of MAD doctrine, mutually assured destruction doctrine, if we're not going to have non-proliferation, if we're not going to have no nuclear weapons, we got to have more of them than you, because we got to win the nuclear exchange. And you see that sickness of the mind. And if you've been propagandized, you're like, we can win this. No, we can't.
Okay, so it would take as few as 100 nuclear weapons, less than 1% of global arsenal.
Could trigger a nuclear autumn winter, causing massive worldwide famine.
Okay, so 100 nukes. I'm pretty sure China already has that as is. We've got like 2,000 to 3,000. Russia's got like 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000.
Russia's got a little more. China's got a little over 1,000 as well.
Right, so again, I don't understand, why are we building these, Rex?
I want to be sitting here. I want to talk about a second golden age. I want to talk about amazing things Trump is doing. I want to talk about victories and successes for MAGA, but we live in reality. And the reality we're talking about now is nuclear weapons. So if you're like us and you voted for Trump and you were looking for good things, we got to talk about the bad now. We got to keep it real, because we got to demand better in future administrations, don't we, Tim?
Yes, we do. And we're coming up on the deep dive here in the second hour. You guys aren't going to go anywhere. We're going to be talking about Ukraine, Russia, everything that is about that conflict.
And we love
it. Need to know there. We will be back after the break. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, for $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First tactical trench knife. It's badass. America First t-shirt, MK Ultra atomic defense supplements, Shilajit gummy, Shilajit capsules, Irish CMOS capsules, Warcry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All the Shows Network built at Bigley owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass, and it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You know, these revelations of that elite at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape, and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mentioned it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing, and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012. First time since 2012 that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah. British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So, you got that going for
you. And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? We've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, been, who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's an initiation that you go through to become, it's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations, or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote,
uh-oh.
Yes, quote, I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic, they're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection right before they do so. They start attacking the people that they're about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
And lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of, also of predictive programming. And
you started to get it on the show, but then I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, Black Magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's a metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready, and then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it, and then you realize that they're doing this Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity. When people are...
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high-quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
I do feel good. Glad we can bring in the morning with you guys here on the American Journal. Rex, we got some new news coming out, breaking, right?
We have conflicting information. Apparently, it's been confirmed by Axios. That's Mario Newfall reporting. It's been confirmed by Axios that they did indeed shoot down the F-15. Now, we've got a statement from U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, from 17 hours ago, where they say, claim Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard says it downed an enemy fighter jet. It says, fact, all U.S. fighter aircraft are accounted for. What's going on here on Axios then?
It says the IRGC has made some false claim at least half a dozen times. Okay. You know, again, this is like
fog of war.
This is fog of war. This is propaganda going back and forth. And they want to confuse you on both sides so that you can't tell what's the truth. That's why we have independent news. Didn't you have an article or Mario's reporting on
something? Mario's reporting on it. I don't want to get too much into the conflicting information. I just want to let people know right now there's an active dispute between the two countries. America says we haven't lost any planes. Iran says we've lost a plane. Now it's being confirmed by Axios, which really is a U.S. government mouthpiece, that this has happened. I really don't think this story would have come out if there wasn't some substance to it. Just want to let you know you're going to want to tune into Alex Jones Show and the War Room. I'm sure more will come out. But go ahead. Let's get into the deep dive. Let's talk about Ukraine.
Yes. Deep dive. This is my favorite part. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. Again, we do the deep dives to give you guys information, give you guys context beyond the headlines. What we're going to be talking about today is the Ukraine war and the things that are not so mainstream, because there's a lot of confusion on why the United States and Russia and Ukraine have gotten into the situation. And sure, you have to go very far back to understand how we actually got to today.
And just really quick, we're told the Star Wars story of poor, innocent little Ukraine. Russia comes in for absolutely no reason. And you're like, oh, well, NATO expansion, all these reasons. Go ahead and get it.
Okay, well, let me just preface this before I get started. Okay, I spend a lot of time doing this research. I do it in an impartial way. When I go in and I look at facts, and I don't look at skewing it one way or another or giving you a spin. It is up to you, the viewer, the listener at home, to make your own decision and That's judgment right. based off of the information that I'm going to give you, okay? So let's talk about the Russia-Ukraine war, the war that nobody explained to you. So if you've been following the Russia-Ukraine war, you probably think it started in 2022, but that's not actually the real story. This conflict has gone all the way back into the 1990s, right. And the U.S., the U.K., the NATO have been involved from the very beginning of yes. this process. And so the NATO governments have sent hundreds of billion dollars to Ukraine.
Yes.
And so U.S. officials are actually acknowledging this whole thing about a proxy war. So why does most of the coverage skip the first 30 years? And we're starting to see this pressure build up. And we can pull up this graphic of the Soviet Union because we need to look at these photos and understand what's happening here. So Soviet Union was something that happened throughout the 80s and ended in the 90s, okay? And you can see all of the countries
It started after the revolution.
Well, yeah, really. It started after
World War II, we're talking about.
Yes, I meant to say it carried all the way through.
It 1991, ended. It dissolved
in 1991, and they had this whole thing, communism, socialism, whatever you want to say. It didn't work out, okay?
Uh-oh.
It didn't work out, and that's part of the reason why you had the whole Cold War. So in 1991, the Soviet Union collapsed. Russia went from a superpower, and it broke overnight. So this Boris Yeltsin took over, governed from 1991 to 1999, and then his vision was simple. He wanted to just partner with the West and end the hostility and just join the global economy. But that's not actually what happened. So in 1992, Russia basically adopted this radical economic policy that we came up with known as shock therapy. And the idea from the United States was this.
Immediate capitalism.
Well, it was immediate capitalism and open the markets. The idea was to take the state run and make everything privatized as quickly as possible, similar to how we have here in the government
right. Is
only an entity and it doesn't control everything. And so they would open up the markets, they would sell off the government industries, and they would remove price controls all at once. And then if it wasn't for some rogue experiment, and if it was endorsed by the IMF, the U.S. Treasury and Clinton administration, they all supported this.
Sure, and we sent economic hitmen over to their country to divide it up and chop it up and run it. We're like, you got the company milk, the country's milk, the USSR milk. It's our milk now. But it became too expensive for those companies to produce those things. You got mass shortages. Talk about the shock therapy.
So let's watch this video that explains shock therapy. Pay attention here. This video is important to the context of everything. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Publix. Enter Boris Yeltsin, the first president of the Russian Federation. Yeltsin inherited a country in turmoil, shrinking economy, rising nationalism, and widespread uncertainty. To address these challenges, he turned to Western economists and institutions like the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank, who advocated for shock therapy. Shock therapy was rooted in the belief that transitioning to capitalism should be as rapid and sweeping as possible. The idea was that short-term pain would lead to long-term gain. These architects like Jeffrey Sachs and Anders Esland argue that gradual reforms risked a return to socialism. Instead, they pushed for a clean break, dismantling the planned economy in one fell swoop. The first step was lifting price controls, which had kept goods affordable during the Soviet era. Overnight, prices skyrocketed. In January 1992 alone, basic necessities became unaffordable for many. A loaf of bread that once cost a few kopecks suddenly cost several rubles. Hyperinflation reached 1,354% that year, wiping out savings and plunging millions into poverty. For ordinary Russians, this was a nightmare. Imagine an elderly pensioner who had saved her entire life under the Soviet system, only to find that her money was now worthless. People began selling heirlooms, furniture, and even clothes in makeshift street markets just to survive. This period became a symbol of desperation, grandmothers hawking antique samovars and men bartering tools for food. Unemployment, a concept virtually unknown in the USSR, surged as industries shut down or downsized. State-owned factories, once the backbone of Soviet life, could no longer compete in the global market. Entire towns built around a single factory, known as monotowns, were devastated, leaving residents without jobs or prospects. Privatization was another cornerstone of shock therapy. It was here that the seeds of Russia's oligarchy were sown. State assets, from oil fields to aluminum plants, were sold off at bargain prices. Ordinary Russians were given vouchers to buy shares in these enterprises, but most sold them for cash to survive. The beneficiaries, a small group of well-connected insiders who amassed vast fortunes almost overnight. Take the example of Roman Abramovich, who acquired the Sibneft oil company for a fraction of its value, or Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who became one of the richest men in Russia by acquiring Yukosoil. These oligarchs wielded immense power, not just economically, but politically, shaping Russia's future in ways that still resonate today.
Okay, Rex and I lit up at the same time. Rex, you want to talk about that quote that you just wrote down?
Well, where have we heard short-term pain, long-term gain before? We're hearing it right now about this war, about this conflict. You see, propaganda never changes. Just the application of the propaganda
is different. Well, that is the whole reason why we do these deep dives. Because it uncovers history, and humans have a repeatable pattern done these things before, we've lived through. So anything you're hearing now where we talk about short-term pain for long-term gain, we've seen it not play out before. So how do we think that it's going to play out positively today?
Right. And I mean, past behavior is the best indicator of present and future behavior. And what do these governments do? Whenever we look at history, they're always just finding ways to screw the people. Look, it's like, oh, we're going to make it equitable. We're going to give everybody shares in these companies that we're going to sell off. But we know everyone's starving. We know everyone needs to sell the shares for bread, for oil, for food. So and the oligarchs are going to get it. It's just you understand this when you set the system up. And I think a lot of the time, like with this war, they're like, we didn't know the strait would be closed. What? And they're like, well, we know it's going to be closed. It's our calculation. We got to have regime change. So they just tell us the truth, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, let's just look at what happened to Russia's GDP after this. And you're going to be shocked. Russia's GDP fell approximately 50% in less than a decade.
Wow.
50%. Let's go ahead and pull up this graphic so that you can see it. It is insane. When we look at these situations, and you just see, okay, so we'll read this real quick. Russia's GDP fell by 50% between 1992 and 1998, and the industrial production declined by 56% in the same time period.
Well, that's called winning. Like, that's the same winning we're dealing with right now. And that's also probably how it was sold as well.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, wait. There's more. We got to look at what also happened, because now you saw the inflation go up 1,300%. You also see the rate at which men are dying starts to go up in incrementally. And so life expectancy is starting to get crater and crime starts to surge and drug abuse starts to explode. Right. And then ordinary Russians are drowning. And this one tiny group at the top, the oligarch, is just sitting there salivating.
It's the new ruling class.
Yes. So can we pull up that life expectancy chart? And you're just going to see how much the life expectancy.
Ooh.
So you can see in 1985, they were doing okay. And then the U.S. just comes in 1990 and they're like, all right.
Dude, they had a life expectancy of 57 years at one point. You look at France, you look at the West there, and you look at that kind of gradual uptick as healthcare gets better, as technology gets better, as lives improve and as things get easier. And you look at them, they're in the hurt locker.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And look at France. France is chilling. France is like, hey, we don't really care. And they're also involved in these decisions. Right. So, I want to pull up that quote also of, Boris quote.
Borishovsky.
Yeah. So he's just talking about, he's basically bragging here that a handful of bankers controlled about half of Russia's economy and most of its media. You can go ahead and read this.
Sure. Borishovsky said the exclusive club of tycoons included Smolensky and Potanin. I don't know how you say it. Last one.
Skip their names.
Along with banker, I'm going to try to do it, and media mogul Vladimir A. Guchinsky, now 46, oil magnate and banker Mikhail B. Kordachovsky, 35, and bankers Mikhail M. Fredman, 34, and Pyotr O'Avin, 43, who together head the Alpha Group of financial firms. Among them, Borishovsky claimed, they controlled half of Russia's economy.
It's insane. 50%.
Making all of this.
Seven people controlling 50%. What do you think that does? Do you think that they have the right morals to do the right thing by the Russian people?
No, they just want things to be good for them. They're going to destroy the country.
Right. So then there's also, we got to look at this William Burns cable, because the U.S. ambassador warned Washington that if Russians felt humiliating and that they believed that the West was exploiting their weakness after the Soviet Union departed, right? So this shock therapy didn't just collapse the economy, it poisoned the entire relationship, Rex.
Right.
And so the Russians came out of the 1990s believing that the West was going to do something to help them, but they ended up almost destroying them almost by on purpose. It seems like.
Sure. Well, I mean, the goal is like the smash and grab, the destabilization. We see a lot of that here with people getting rich and making all these insider trading, all these deals. What happens? You have a response. And what's that response called? Vladimir Putin. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the deep dive. But ultimately, what we're seeing here in America is reflection of the Soviet Union, because bad leadership is going to lead to that strong man.
Yes.
And people are going to want that. That's what Fuentes always talks about, is you have one guy, maybe he doesn't care too much about human rights, but he's going to change things for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to become a very dangerous calculation.
Very
as
dangerous.
Time goes on.
Yep. Right? 100%. Now, let's go ahead and pull up number 6 that talks about William Burns in this cable is saying that the West is taking advantage. So let's go ahead and read this, Rex, if you could read that.
Sure. Winter in Russia is not a time for optimists, and in some respects, the popular mood here mirrors the descending gloom. Born of a mood of national regret over the loss of superpower status and an equally acute sense that the West is taking advantage of Russia's weakness, Assertive policies abroad have become one of the few themes that unite Russians. Yeltsin wished to reaffirm Russia's great power status and its interest in neighboring post-Soviet republics.
Yeah, so he is important here, and he's one of these people who's in the government, who's trying to almost whistleblow in some certain capacity, but no one cares.
No one cares.
So, and we're seeing these things play out all over and over again. And then the biggest thing here is NATO. We made some promises during the 90s that we have not kept. So while Russia was falling apart, NATO was expanding east. And for context, NATO's military alliance, it's pretty much if you're in NATO, an attack on you is an attack on everyone
Article
else.
Five.
Everyone knows this. So NATO's moving closer to Russia's borders, but it's not just politics. It's a direct military threat. And just remember, we promised Russia when we were taking the Soviet Union apart that we wouldn't move 1 inch east.
And that's so key. I want to come in here and talk about this.
Go ahead.
Keep this graphic up here on the screen for a second. After 1991, NATO added 12 countries. After 1991, the USSR, now Russia, dissolved the Warsaw Pact, which made all those post-Soviet republics now post-Soviet republics. Russia even tried to join NATO twice.
Yeah.
We didn't want that to happen. Here's a little trivia question for you, Tim. On that map there, which country on that map, it's actually not on that map, which country have they had the second most NATO exercises? 36.
36? Well, what, are you thinking Ukraine?
Ukraine. That's right. So they use Ukraine as this military staging ground. They use this Ukraine situation as something they've given pseudo security guarantees to. And ultimately, they've desperately wanted NATO to, or Ukraine to join NATO because that's the completion of the security armada against Russia in their mind.
Yeah.
And they can't let go of that Cold War threat.
Well, yeah. And like I said, the U.S. secretary said this, right?
Sure.
James Baker, he told Gorbachev, who was the one who was making the negotiations, he said we wouldn't move east. And as you pointed out, we went another country and another country. And then you're starting to see in 1999, we took Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic. And now Russia's just seeing all these things play out. And then we have something that happens in 1999 that also contributes to changing the narrative around NATO's position, because NATO was created as a defensive pact, not an offensive pact.
Not an offensive alliance, a defensive
pact. Okay, so let's go ahead and pull up and play number 8 here that's going to talk about the bombing of Yugoslavia, and it changes the rhetoric and the tone for the rest of the world going forward from this bombing.
Had broken theirs. Russia may have taken the expansion of NATO more lightly if it weren't for another major event in 1999, the NATO bombing of Yugoslavia.
The first bombing of its kind in NATO history. On March 24, 1999, Western nations carried out their threat against Serbia and began the biggest military conflict on Serbian soil since World War II.
This was the first time NATO used military force without the approval of the UN Security Council, and thus international legal approval. This showed that NATO would operate not only as a defensive alliance, but an offensive alliance that had no problem bombing sovereign states it disapproved of. Russia observed all of this and never forgot it. Even the famous Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn decried the action, saying, "NATO has proclaimed to the whole world, might is right. Those who are strong are always right." He added that it was the destruction of a beautiful country in full view of humanity, while civilized governments applaud this. Not only Russia, but many countries across the world opposed these actions by NATO. It was a serious departure from what NATO claimed to stand for, and people would not quickly forget this.
All right, we got to look at timeline here. I'm going to jump in a little bit. What's going on in 1999? Oh, Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. So Bill Clinton decides to bomb Yugoslavia, to bomb Kosovo, I believe, for 79 days. Mm-hmm. That's an example of now modern foreign policy. That's distracting from the Epstein files.
Distracting 1.0. So it's great analysis there.
Sure.
You kind of create some noise over here. Don't look at what I did over here.
Right.
Create some noise over there. Get everybody to – but again, it's like – people don't look at the long-term chain reaction that happens.
Sure.
Right? And this graphic is showing you, the NATO alliance, it just keeps going up, and you just see country after country after country. This is a great graphic here. And then look at that. So again, do you see where we're moving to? I mean, you just see all the countries ganging up, and then it leaves room for a new president to come in, which we know as Vladimir Putin in 2000, because the Russian population is unhappy.
They're done with it.
They're done with it. Their entire economy decimated 50% over an 8-year period. And then now you have Vladimir Putin who comes in and he starts cracking down on the oligarchs. Okay. He was part of the KGB, but you can tell, and this isn't like me being, I love Putin. I mean, Putin has murdered people, but again, he is coming in here with a reason to save his people, and he cracks down on the oligarchs. He reasserted state control and he basically stabilized the economy. And so then you start seeing after 2000s, the living standards go up, crime starts to drop. And this is why Putin has become popular, or why he even became popular, because he gave Russian stability after the decade of chaos.
Sure. I mean, that's the key thing to always point out. Like you're talking about, like, of course, all these world leaders are killers. But Trump had the key line in that 60 Minutes interview you always call back to. And the guy's talking to him. He goes, you know, Putin's a killer, sir. Putin's a killer. You really want to work with Putin? He's a murderer. And he goes, Trump goes, you think we're so innocent? And that's the nature of global politics.
Yeah. Excellent point. And here's the thing. Even after all of that happened in the 90s, The relations with the U.S. didn't just improve. And after 9/11, Russia was actually one of the first countries to offer the U.S. support.
Right.
And they wanted to come in and they wanted to share intelligence. They offered cooperation with the Bush administration. And then NATO kept expanding anyways after the point at which these situations happen. Okay?
Sure.
And then it goes right up to Russia's border. And then 2007, Putin's like, I've had enough, man. And so he goes in and he stands in front of the Munich Security Conference and he publicly calls out NATO of its expansion and serious provocation that's happening. And he says, against whom is this expansion intended for? Let's go ahead and roll up clip number 9 here. And it's going to show you Putin and what he says during this conference.
All of this. When 9/11 happened, Russia still declared full support to the U.S. in fighting terrorism. America didn't seem to care about this gesture of goodwill. In 2004, NATO underwent another round of eastward expansion, this time taking in the Baltic states, Romania, and several other Eastern European countries. In 2005, President Putin complained to American diplomats, "You Americans need to listen more. You can't have everything your way anymore. We can have effective relations, but not just on your terms." In February 2007, he delivered a dramatic speech in Munich where he protested the continuous expansion of NATO.
It turns out that NATO has put its frontline forces on our borders and we continue to strictly fulfill the treaty obligations and do not react to these actions at all. I think it is obvious that NATO expansion does not have any relation with the modernization of the alliance itself or with ensuring security in Europe. On the contrary, it represents a serious provocation that reduces the level of mutual trust, and we have the right to ask against whom is this expansion intended.
What do you think about that, Rex?
I think it's a fair question. I mean, you say you need this security alliance, this defense, this offensive alliance that's going to bomb these countries. Who are you protecting the people in your alliance against? You're trying to protect them against us. And, I mean, he put over the overtures. He tried to join NATO twice.
He did try to join NATO twice.
So we look at it and we're like, well, we want things to get better in the world. We have hope for change. And we see world leaders say, hey, you know what? Maybe we're motivated in our own self-interest. Why are you being aggressive towards us? We're not trying to declare war on you. And then you see these military actions happen decades later. You see the Russian invasion into Ukraine. And then people talk about it like it all happens in a vacuum.
This is why we talk about the history.
Right.
This is why we give you guys context. Because these things are not just readily available that they're just reporting on them on a regular basis. No, it's headline after headline. New bombing happens here. Explosion here. Donetsk is under fire. And it's like, okay, well, can we start asking more macro level questions and understand, okay, why are we in this in the first situation?
Sure.
I mean, the Biden administration, I'm going to cover in the deep dive.
We got a lot more.
What was the whole reason why this also played out? But we're going to be coming up on a break here, but yes. Again, you guys don't want to go anywhere. We are only halfway through the deep dive, and there are a lot more details for you guys to know about. We will be back after the break. This is Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins on the American Journal. See you after the break. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Fishback on with us. James Fishback, gubernatorial candidate, on in the next hour. We're continuing on with the phenomenal Ukraine-Russia deep dive on NATO, about the war, about all the things that have happened to lead up to this point. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you right now, we have a new rolling sale on the AlexJonesStore.com. That's the AlexJonesStore.com. It's a new rolling sale, up to 40% off Ultra DNA Revival. That's like DNA Force 2.0, if you ever took that old product. Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, Atomic Defense, up to 35% off Colostrum and Life Force, and up to 30% off Iodine Tincture, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red, Creatine Powder, and the entire InfoWars Limited Edition 1776 collection. You want to get the bag bundle, it's still available. You want to get all these things, go check out the store, thealexjonesstore.com, the place to be. Thank you very much. Tim, back to the deep dive.
Yeah, so we were talking a lot about this NATO expansion and going through the history. And so, you know, this is the playbook that kept repeating. And so throughout the 2000s, you know, something kept happening in the countries right up to Russia's doorstep. And so governments were being overthrown and replaced by pro-Western, pro-NATO leadership. And then you see these so-called color revolutions. I'm sure you've heard of that. And from Moscow's perspective, the U.S. was behind them. Let's pull up number 10, showing these color, the color revolution. Go ahead and read this.
Absolutely. I'll read the highlighted part. And this is talking about Ukraine. But while the gains of the orange-bedecked chestnut revolution are Ukraine's, the campaign is an American creation, a sophisticated and brilliantly conceived exercise in Western branding and mass marketing that, in four countries in 4 years, has been used to try to salvage rigged elections and topple unsavory campaigns. What's that referring to, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, this is, we do this all the time. We do these regime changes, right? Because if there's somebody, not cooperating and not playing against our rules, get them out of here.
Seriously.
Take them out back.
And then they'll say, we don't do that as well. Trump came out and said the goal is not regime change. And then you have him on tape like 10 times saying,
well, we're the best at regime change. Didn't you know, right?
Nobody does it like us. It's true. That's very true.
So now we go into 2004 and we have this orange revolution. Okay. So this is a disputed, election between two candidates, Viktor Yushchenko and then Viktor, I'm going to butcher his name, Yukonchevich or whatever. And so protests started to erupt, okay? And the result flipped and a pro leader. So originally this one guy won and then somehow they reversed it and put in a pro-Western candidate to actually win this election. And you can pull up this picture. Yeah, this is Viktor Yushchenko. And he's the new guy, the yes man, the guy who's going to follow NATO, who's going to follow the U.S. into battle. And so they also used the same playbook in Georgia called the Rose Revolution between 2003 and 2008. The United States trained Georgia's army and military. And then in 2008, Georgia attacks the south of Ossetia. And then they do a breakaway region in which it's right on Russia's border, and then Russia has to respond, okay? And then they won that battle in 5 days. And the EU does an investigation after all this happens, and they do determine that Georgia fired first and that the NATO countries and the U.S. were responsible. This is Europe doing their own investigation.
Okay.
Okay, so now we just see this from Moscow. This pattern is undeniable. Okay. You've got political turnover. You've got Western alignment. You've got military buildup on their borders. And then for every one of those countries is just a warm up. And we know where the real target is.
Right. Right.
And it's Ukraine. And this was the one demand in the one area that has been the most sensitive for Russia specifically. Okay. Ukraine was different from all the rest because it mattered to Russia more than any other country on the map. And in 2008, the U.S. ambassador warned that Ukrainian NATO membership was the brightest of all red lines, not just for Putin, but for the entire Russian political class. And American officials knew exactly what they were doing, pushing against this narrative.
All right. I want to talk about the Ukrainian situation a little bit prior to this. You got to keep in mind, Ukraine had, I believe, the second most nuclear weapons in any of the Soviet bloc countries up against Mother Russia, mm-hmm. right? And when they became their own country in the post-Soviet era, post-1991, they made a deal. They said, look, we're going to declare ourselves to be totally neutral. In exchange for that, we want security guarantee from both the Russians and the West that you're not going to mess with our state. Well, that's the strongest argument for Ukrainian sovereignty and for this war and for, you know, their side of the story, their campaign. You look at that, though, and you go, well, you agreed to be neutral. Now you're hosting 36 NATO exercises.
Well,
now you're a NATO partner.
Well, just think about it this way. We were about to go to nuclear arms, like to nuclear conflict over Cuba.
Yes.
Okay. How is that any different in a Ukraine situation?
100%. I totally agree. It's just a new Cuban missile crisis. I mean, the Cuban missile crisis, they're saying they're going to put nukes down in Cuba. That's right on our border. We can't allow that. We got to go to World War III. Got to go to nuclear war. It's the same exact calculation for the Russians. And you think about the American hubris of, oh, we're more important. They don't matter. They're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's why 2014 is important, because we've heard 2022, and then a lot of people point to 2014 as another major conflict.
Right.
Let's pull up this video of the Ukraine NATO and the Maidan coup, because this is very important context.
Right.
Let's go ahead and pull up number 12 here with that video.
In 2008, the U.S. ambassador to Russia, William J. Burns, wrote to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, "Ukrainian entry into NATO is the brightest of all red lines for the Russian elite, not just Putin. In more than 2.5 years of conversations with key Russian players, from knuckle-draggers in the dark recesses of the Kremlin to Putin's sharpest liberal critics, I have yet to find anyone who views Ukraine and NATO as anything other than a direct challenge to Russian interests." American officials were fully aware that Ukraine joining NATO was something that no one in the Russian leadership could tolerate, whether they be in Putin's circle or his liberal critics. Nevertheless, in 2014, the U.S. government under Barack Obama backed the infamous Maidan Revolution in Ukraine. This revolution overthrew the Russia-friendly government of Viktor Yanukovych and replaced it with a pro-NATO government. John McCain, Victoria Nuland, and other American government officials were literally...
Cut back to me for a second. This is McCain. And the congressional people, the people who are American, looking at this, like it's a Coldplay concert. And they're like, ooh, this is so cool!
Right.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing that pisses me off here, okay? These people have no idea of reaction and consequence.
Yep.
And action leads to something that happens way down the line. Wake up! Wake up! These aren't jokes. You're gonna cause conflicts down the line. Right. You're gonna lead to hundreds of thousands of people dying. Right. And you're sitting there with your camera like it's a Coldplay concert, and I'm like, these people have no idea.
Dude, they set it up. They literally, they run it all. Victoria Nuland, John McCain, literally filming the color revolution. It's in black and white, not even black and white. It's in Technicolor. It's in 4K, as we say today.
It just pisses me off.
Sure. Makes me mad.
They have no idea what they're doing. And we call these people the adults in the room, and they're just meddling in people's elections, and it causes chain reactions. And you just think, like, if something like that were to happen here, Rex,
sure,
what would happen? I mean, we already were freaking out when people thought the Russia collusion was real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, to openly have, let's say, like, Russian oligarchs sitting there filming, like, you know, let's say like Trump doesn't get in and like they, yes, put in another puppet head.
Yes.
People would have a riot.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 100%.
So they would
crash out. They would go crazy in the street. But you see, we're the good guys. We're the world government. So we get to go over there and play world government.
Yes.
That's, we're the globalists. That's really what it is. America, the Western Empire, whatever you want to call it. That's what globalism is.
And again, there's a domino effect where you have no idea what you're going to cause down the line. And so these actions have been responsible for the decimation of cities.
Right.
Killing of people's families.
Right.
Murder of citizens who had nothing to do with these conflicts.
Absolutely.
And they had no clue what they were doing.
Sure.
They just said, this is a good idea, sir. This is the best thing since sliced bread. We just need to make sure these people follow our command, and we put, yep, a guy in there that's going to be good for the American people.
Yep. And here's the thing. You think about this when you're talking about Cuban Missile Crisis and kind of pointing out the example of the hypocrisy there. The illegal war of aggression, the evil Russians rolling in February of 2022. What are we doing in Iran then? If that's an illegal war of aggression, this has far less justification. Just giving that as an anecdote.
No, you're right. No, like, let's play out the rest of the video because you're going to see the reaction of what happens. It is massive. The implications are very real. Let's go ahead and roll the rest of that clip, please.
On the ground in Ukraine, cheering as it happened. They didn't even bother to hide their involvement. Just a week before the coup occurred, there was a leaked phone call of Victoria Nuland speaking about the Ukrainian opposition as if she controlled it. When asked about how the EU would react to all of this, she replied, "F*** the EU."
So that would be great, I think, to help glue this thing and have the UN help glue it. And, you know, f*** the EU.
No, exactly. And I think we've got to do something to make it stick together, because you can be pretty sure that if it does start to gain altitude, the Russians will be working behind the scenes to try to torpedo it.
That's how much she cared about European interests. And people listening to this in the EU area should seriously consider that. In response to this coup, the ethnic Russian regions of Ukraine, such as Donetsk, Luhansk, and Crimea, immediately rose up in rebellion against the new Ukrainian government. Kiev declared them all to be terrorists and launched what it called an anti-terrorist operation to destroy them. Russia, seeing the opportunity, gladly stepped in to back these separatists and annexed Crimea. Crimea had long been disputed between Russia and Ukraine, and this was seen by Moscow as the chance to settle the issue once and for all. A war began between the Russian-backed separatists of eastern Ukraine and the US-UK-backed government in Kiev. The New York Times reported plainly in 2024, the partnership between the CIA and Defense Intelligence of Ukraine began in late February 2014, so immediately upon the Ukrainian government changing. It was recently revealed in declassified documents that the CIA built 12 military bases on the front lines in Donbass.
Unbelievable.
So that's a war. Like, we're fighting a war against them, and then they fight back, or they try to seize territory they think is significant to their conflict, to their war, to their objectives. And we go, oh, no, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to fight against us. We're allowed to build up force against you.
Well, imagine naming your own citizens who probably voted for somebody.
Right.
And then calling them terrorists because they don't agree with you doing a regime change to put somebody who didn't have your best interest in mind.
Sure.
Unbelievable. So when I look at these situations, I'm like, it's very black and white for me. It's like, we have a history of meddling our nose in other people's business.
It doesn't belong.
It doesn't belong. And here's the thing, Russia, it's all this Cold War stuff because they think it's the Soviet Union still. No, Russia realized that communism and socialism didn't work. Right. That is why it collapsed on its own with the help of the NATO countries and a lot of other countries pushing that. But they realized our people are struggling. This isn't going to work out. And that's why you had succession after succession and countries getting out.
And we see these economies. Here's the thing. We're all mixed economies. The United States is a mixed economy. Government owns percentages of very large corporations like NVIDIA. Government basically controls a lot of things behind the scenes. The same is true in China, even more so, and in Russia, maybe to a greater or lesser extent. To say that we are the free market liberal warriors who go around the world and liberate these oppressed populations from the evil, tyrannical, fascist, communist dictator, we don't live in 1940 anymore.
Yes. Yes, no. And let's just look at the funding chart on number 13 and just see how much money we fueled.
That's what it's always about.
It's so much money, man. So much money. Hey, we can't do daycare, remember.
That's right. Daycare is too expensive.
We need moms. Let's go ahead and pull up number 13 here with the funding chart.
Wow.
Just look at how much the U.S. contributed in 2024.
Bilateral aid commitments from the top 20 donor countries and from European Union EU institutions as of December 31st, 2024. You got the United States at over like 130 billion. And then the EU is a little bit close to that, like 110, 125 billion. UK is at like 40 billion. Germany is at close to 30. And then it kind of drops off a cliff from there.
I'm sorry. How are we the biggest number here when we're the furthest away?
That's an excellent point, Tim.
Somebody make sense. Somebody make this make sense.
Well, see, you got...
I mean, Germany's right there.
Tim, you're not a patriot. You don't think it's great that America controls and manipulates and abuses all these people around the world? Hey, we need to spend the $100 billion so we control another country thousands of miles away from you.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. We're going to air out what Biden did here. But also Trump was responsible in these circumstances, too. Okay.
Uniparty,
under Trump. The U.S. shipped lethal weapons to Ukraine for the first time. For the first time.
Obama gave you blankets, I gave you javelins.
Yes, that's the, yes. He sent javelin anti-tank missiles, expanded training, and then he did deeper intelligence cooperation. And under his presidency, he did brag exactly what Rex just said. Okay? And then under Biden, it just went to overdrive.
Sure.
I mean, he just said, let's just crank it all the way up. And then Ukraine had been pushing for NATO membership for years. But under Biden, he was like, come on in.
Right.
You can join us over here, open for business. And so at that point, remember, we said that this earlier, like the U.S. ambassador warned in 2008 that this was the brightest of all red lines for Russia.
Yes.
And Washington knew what this signal meant. Biden's alive during this time period, was sure. he not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's debatable.
Go ahead.
I mean, he was under the Obama administration.
He was walking around.
So now you've got all of these situations play out. And as soon as we started this bid to try to get Ukraine, Russia was like, we've had enough. I mean, there's only but so much you can take. And you can sit here and call me, you're a Russian commie.
Putin loving puppet.
And it's like, no, man, I'm just looking at the facts. I'm giving it to you guys at home. As I said, you have the ability to make your own decision with this information. And this is not me being partisan. I've talked about both Trump and I have talked about Biden in the same sentence here, and they have both committed this entire situation to get off the rails, and there's no end in sight.
Yeah, they're both killers at the end of the day. Like, these people are murderers, and they're murderers of people far away and at home. And like, that's what they do, is their position is to generate more money and, as a consequence, more death. That's what the military industrial complex is. That's what it is when Larry Fink of BlackRock goes over to Ukraine with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, yep, and meets with Zelensky, and they decide how his country is going to be divided up.
Yes.
It's all about that. It's not about helping the people on the ground. It's not about liberating them from the evil force. It's about control. It's always about control. And this is wild. These are very serious topics, Tim.
Very serious.
These are very serious things.
Very serious. And they sit in the rooms and they make the decisions.
Right.
And again, you just wait. Years from now, you start to see the implications, and you can see the same thing happening now with the Iran conflict. Okay? Not to say that Iran didn't have its military proxy groups and the terrorists. That's a real threat. Mm-hmm. But again, we're making all of these knee-jerk reactions and have no idea what's going to happen down the line. We could be gearing up for a World War III situation. It is that scary, because the whole world is now under the pressure.
Sure.
Of these economic situations that are happening now.
Well, Trump told Zelensky, you're gambling with World War III, and now it looks like we're gambling with World War III in a full and total war. You look at this. I know we got a little bit more in the deep dive. I want to make this point. The old world order of, like, you know, Biden is senile, waddling around. The old deep state people, they all wanted to get into the Cold War beef because that's where they come from. It's like we talked about in the deep dive. It's that old animus. It's that old hunger for that battle. The new faction of the deep state, the, like, Israeli Zionist faction of it, they're the new guys, and they're like war in the Middle East. It benefits you fighting China, you get to fight against the IMET corridor, you got to do this against Iran. So whether it's that first power block, the anti-Russian power block, or the second power block, the radical Zionist Iran war power block, you don't get a peace power block. There's not a group of people that are like, hey, let's make things better. It's like, oh, like, we want this war here with the Democrats. We want this war here with the Republicans. And this is the thing. People are like, I've seen people online apologize, and I've apologized for it, but in a different way. People be like, I didn't know I voted for Trump. I didn't know what I voted for. People are like, yeah, I should have voted for Kamala. Well, Kamala won it.
No. Absolutely not.
It's all sick, and we're calling out the hypocrisy on all sides.
Well, here's the thing, Rex. The reason why I voted for Trump after being a Democrat for so long, because that was the lifestyle that I was born into. Okay. You've got 95% of blacks vote Democrat.
Sure. Right.
And you're on the East Coast. Biden and Kamala and all of these things were the reason why. I'm like, we have no idea what we're doing here. We need to stop this now. Trump, save us.
Yes.
And he came and he gave his platform. He said, no more new wars.
Yes.
And I said, perfect. He has a better relationship with Putin than Biden would ever have.
Right.
And maybe he will end this war within 24 to 48 hours. But no, He's got to give him more missiles, escalate it, because he's not cooperating. And Zelensky's,
little Zelensky's out here salivating. Yes, missiles, war, conflict.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I like it.
So when I look at all of this, I'm just like, okay. We have a situation where I think we need to start another program outside of, you know, the foreign exchange program where I said, go trade a congressional person with a military person. Yeah. I got an even better plan.
Okay. Okay.
Every single person who's in Congress.
Yeah.
Needs to go through history class.
Yes. Yes. Let's
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely. We're going to demand this. Okay. If you are in Congress, you need to go over and you need to sit down with Tim Tompkins and do these deep dives so we can teach you on causality and all of the things that happen afterwards.
Sure. You just got to study the history of world conflict. You got to study geopolitics. You got to do your job. It's not enough to go up there. And Kamala says, well, Russia is a big country and Ukraine is a little country. And Russia is being bad and is being mean to Ukraine, so we have to go and kill millions of people and spend hundreds of billions of your money. I'm Kamala Harris. And here's the thing. Kamala, you got to study the topics. You got to do a deep dive with Tim.
Got to do a deep dive with Tim.
Right. Right.
Absolutely mandatory.
Wow.
We demand this. Okay? So, yeah, that's the end of the deep dive here. I do these because I love giving history. I loved giving context. I spent a lot of time. I spent hours doing the research because I care. I care about educating people.
Sure.
And that is my ethos through and through.
Sure.
Truth is always going to prevail. I want to be on the right side of history, however the dominoes and the cards fall.
Sure. And I mean, we look at this whole Ukraine situation and now we look at Iran and we look at the rapid advancement in real 21st century modern warfare, modern combat. You have the FPV drones, you have the missiles and the missile defense systems. You have all sorts of trench warfare style engagements where you can't have mass groupings of troops or tanks anymore because they just get taken out by the FPVs. You've got to have like a real old style of combat backed with extreme air support and drone support. I mean, they have areas of Ukraine. I think it's like a 20-mile or 200-mile. I forget which area. I think it's 200-mile where it's literally just FPV drones, fiber optic cable all over the ground, and no one can pass it because they're at an official stalemate. You know, I was wrong about this last year. I really thought the Ukrainians were going to have to make concessions at this point. I think they're still going to have to make concessions.
It's
bloody, man.
I just don't understand how they've survived so long. And Russia's now making more money off of the oil deals,
yes,
and now the Iran conflict has turned into their benefit, and they're making money off of producing drones for Iran as well. They have a lot of ways to go. They're winning this war of attrition.
And I think they're in a difficult position, but I think you also got to ascribe a little bit of a profit motivation to them as well, because war is good for business.
For business.
Doesn't matter what country you're in.
You're right.
Right? So, I mean, all these people want to talk about ending the conflict, you know, Putin, Lavrov, Medvedev, y'all have had means to end the conflict. Y'all have continued the conflict on because it makes you money.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Putin is not the best man in the world. He's actually murdered people. He's taken
it's like
out
all the world leaders.
Yeah,
a lot of the world leaders
have issues on their own, okay? This isn't me trying to be the Putin puppet. It's really just, it's people need to get along. People need to do the right thing. People need to get over the ego and actually make things happen.
They got to live in reality. And that's what the American Journal is about. That's what Gray Area is about. Let's go ahead and throw up our Twitter really quick. If you can, I want you guys to know we do a Thursday and Sunday show. It's a 2 to 3 hour. We really look forward to Sundays. We always have a marquee guest. We always have a phenomenal deep dive. This is actually one of the deep dives we've done before on the Gray Area, but reloaded for mass presentation. We wanted you guys to see it because it's just one great example of the phenomenal information we give you every Sunday. You're going to want to go to Gray Area Talks on X and check us out there, and True's and Tim as well. Give me a follow.
If you guys really do like the value that I'm giving, the simple way you can support is just giving me a follow. I really do appreciate it. I respond to DMs. I see comments. I'm trying to be engaged. Yep. I like to interact with people, and I would be curious to see what you guys think about these deep dives. We're about to have Fish back on very shortly. You guys aren't going to go anywhere. We got a lot of questions to ask him. He's making a lot of headlines these days.
I'm looking forward to it. He's a spicy guy. He's a fun guy. Maybe he's going to win. We're going to have Fish back on starting next hour.
So, CIA declassified documents last week. Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals,
and the pineal gland and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexandrstore.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandrstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandrstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. And they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexandrstore.com. And I thank you for your support.
The International Energy Agency has dropped another bombshell from its Paris headquarters, unleashing a fresh 10-point plan dubbed Sheltering from Oil Shocks. Released amid Brent crude spiking toward $120 a barrel and the Strait of Hormuz largely shut down, the document urges governments to slash global oil demand by an estimated 2.7 million barrels per day within 4 months. Key COVID 2.0-esque measures include mandating work from home up to 3 days a week, dropping highway speed limits by at least 6 to 10 miles per hour, imposing car-free Sundays in major cities, alternating vehicle access by license plate where odd-numbered plates get access on certain days and even-numbered plates get access on the other days, pushing carpooling and public transportation as we dwell in a reality where all of the machete-wielding lunatics are free to injure anyone they please under Blue City Soros DAs, cutting non-essential business flights by 40%, and promoting efficient trucking and rail alternatives. Yeah, you know, the trucking industry, rife with illegal aliens.
This illegal immigrant came into America in March of 2022. He was given a federal work permit by the Biden-Harris administration, and Gavin Newsom gave him a CDL license. On this day, he was driving intoxicated. When the traffic in front of him slowed down, he didn't slow down, and he plowed right through 8 cars, immediately killing 3 individuals and seriously injuring 4.
And the rail alternative, from the likes of the $16 billion California Governor Newsom burned to create nothing.
You want to be big? You got to be big in big things. This is the only high-speed rail system of its type anywhere in the United States of America. You could talk all you want. You guys are actually delivering, making things happen.
On the surface, it reads like pragmatic crisis management for a genuine supply crunch. But we just went through this engineered behavioral control bureaucratic nightmare, and in some respects we still are. And I guarantee the American people are not gonna line up like sheep this time. This isn't the first time the IEA has rolled out such a blueprint. Back in 2022, amid the Russia-Ukraine fallout, they issued an almost identical 10-point plan to cut oil use that pushed remote work, slower speeds, car-free days, and reduced air travel, measures that conveniently aligned with the post-COVID new normal of emerging restricted mobility and digital surveillance. Now, in 2026, the agency is recycling the playbook under the guise of sheltering consumers with language like immediate actions for advanced economies, and heavy emphasis on limiting personal freedom of movement that will quickly morph into policy mandates, fines, internment camps, and enforcement grids. The IEA's own net zero by 2050 roadmap has long telegraphed the end game, slashing fossil fuel demand not through abundant, cheap energy, but through rationing your lifestyle. The populace corralled like sheep, all while the elites jet between climate summits and award ceremonies. Expect the usual cascade towards establishment insolence, where corporate compliance, media cheerleading, and gradual normalization of surveillance apps to optimize your carbon or oil footprint ramp up. The Agenda 2030 goal is less than 4 years away, and the fools are going for broke. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it, it's next level, and ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of the lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can, but this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off, regular customers, 25% off. It funds.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an Info Warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
You're watching The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
By the powerful gubernatorial Florida candidate James Fishback, who's running against the infamous, at this point, Byron Donalds. We want to ask him about his campaign, about events going on in the world, things he's been involved in, conversations people are having. James Fishback, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on, Fishback. It's been a while. The last time we talked to you was on our show probably, what, like 4 months ago, five months ago? A lot has changed, and we just want to catch up, see what's going on, because, you know, we've been seeing you online.
Yes.
So what's changed since then?
Well, a lot's changed. Congratulations to your new show, and it's great to see you guys here, and thanks for the opportunity. I want to just start off by saying that I want to wish everyone a meaningful Good Friday. And I would ask everyone to say a prayer, if they could, for the two men that were in that F-15 that was shot down by the Iranian regime just an hour ago, that search and rescue operation underway. But it's sad that the conflict has gotten to this point, and keep those two men in our prayers as we hope and pray for an end to this war with Iran.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. There are multiple reports, some unconfirmed, that there are some real nasty things developing right now. I've seen multiple news sources report on it now. Axios has reported on an F-15 being shot down. What are your thoughts on that speculation?
Yes, it is. It is tragic. It is yet another reminder that the leaders who wield the levers of war and peace have to be very conscious about what wars we are getting into and why and how we should maintain the peace. And so I voted for President Trump in 2024. I don't regret that decision, but I do think this war is misguided. I haven't seen any intel that suggests that there was an imminent threat posed from Iran to the United States. It looks far more likely that it was Israel trying to get us once again into one of their wars to increase their influence in that region. And so it is sad that we're yet again seeing potentially more casualties on the American side, whilst Israel has yet to suffer a single casualty in a war that we would not be in if it were not for them. And so that's why I went to Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. I stood outside of the Capitol and I respectfully pushed back on the administration that I support, that it's time to either share credible intelligence that shows that Iran does in fact pose an imminent threat to the United States, or it's time to begin to de-escalate this conflict and bring the thousands of troops who have been sent to the region back home.
Now, I'm very curious, kind of like the behind the scenes aspects to running a political campaign. And when you go to Washington and you do these things, you're on a big platform now. Do you ever get any pressure behind the scenes as you're speaking out against these conflicts?
Yes, to put it lightly, the DMs be blowing up. And so, yes, of course, there are the people who try to stop or push back. And I welcome that debate. But I think at the end of the day, Americans deserve to know the truth.
Right.
Tim, not your version of the truth or my version of the truth, but the truth singular. And the truth is that the reason why Joe Kent resigned from number two at the director of national intelligence was because he hadn't seen the intel. The reason why Tulsi Gabbard was asked point blank under oath in congressional testimony if Iran was an imminent threat, and she refused to answer. And so say what you want about George Bush, Colin Powell, 2003 in the Iraq war. At least they had the common courtesy to give us a made up pretext for the war. They're not even extending that courtesy these days. And so yes. I voted for President Trump, among other reasons, to end the forever wars, forever wars that were started by George Bush, perpetuated by Barack Obama. This was a break, a post-partisan break from the neocon uniparty consensus that always found a way for us to get involved in foreign conflicts. And so I think that's a number one reason why a lot of people in my state voted for President Trump. I went to the internment of the U.S. service member who was killed in the early days of the war in Kuwait, Major Cody Cork. And when you go to one of these funerals and you see up close what war does to people, it really does shape and reframe right. how disastrous this conflict can be. And so there's no question that Major Cork died a hero. He died in service to his country. And it's time to make sure that we can limit all future casualties and do right by service members and make sure that we are honoring their commitment as well.
Very powerful point. I want to say this to the viewers, listeners at home, the people hearing us right now doing this interview. War is a dead body in the grave rotting with maggots in it. War is a little kid with no arms or legs. That's what war is. And when you go out there and you support a conflict without knowing much about it, just accepting government's narrative, whatever they're going to tell you, just realize what's going on. And we're not divorced from these conflicts. Whatever happens overseas could eventually, potentially, God forbid, happen at home. You're running this very intense grassroots campaign where you're literally talking to everybody in an effort to beat the big funding. When you talk to people on the street, when you go to these funerals, when you talk to soldiers, veterans, you name it, what's the feeling about war from them?
They understand that it's a necessity, that sometimes it is absolutely necessary and you can't avoid it. But it also means that when you do go into war, you have to have a clear exit strategy, clear defined objectives. We had the president of the United States address the country 2 days ago, and he talked about bombing Iran back to the Stone Ages. That's not a clear objective. That's not why we're going to war with Iran, is to bomb them back to the Stone Ages. In fact, Rex, we've heard at least five different explanations as to why we're in this war. It was to stop the nuclear program. I thought Operation Midnight Hammer fully denuclearized Iran last summer. And then it was regime change. Here we go again. I thought President Trump was against regime change. And then it was to avenge the deaths of American service members that Iran had perpetuated for years. I can agree with that, but you avenge those deaths when they happen. You don't wait 30 or 40 years to do that. And then, of course, the last one, which is the most perplexing, is that Iran was somehow an imminent threat to the United States. And if that is actually true, I'm happy to change my mind, and I think millions of Americans are as well. If Iran was actually plotting to attack, say, New York City or Chicago or LA, absolutely, we should go in there and take them out. But there's no evidence of that whatsoever. And so I fear that this is a classic case of mission creep. We got in almost certainly because of Israel, and now we're redefining the objectives every 48 hours, and we'll never be able to get out. This is exactly what happened in Iraq, right? We were supposed to go in there, identify weapons of mass destruction. They didn't exist, and then it became a nation-building counterinsurgency operation. Same thing with Afghanistan. We went in there to unseat the Taliban government, who had given safe haven and refuge to Al-Qaeda, which attacked us on September 11th. And the next thing you know, we're there for 20 years building schools and trying to win over the hearts and minds of the people. That is not why we go to war. We go to war because it's necessary and to take out a threat to the United States of America, not to install democracies in countries that quite literally, Tim, you and I both know this. These are countries that can never be democratic. In fact, as much as it might suck to say this, let's get realistic. Many of these countries are better off when they're run by theocratic monarchs. I don't know that the Middle East is better off or Iraq is better off for having lost Saddam Hussein. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. I don't know that Libya is better off for having lost Gaddafi. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Well, I want to interject here because it's been the stated mission of the United States for years to have no secular democracy in the Middle East, no regime like Assad, for example, that would tolerate various ethnic and religious minorities in his nation. And you can look at Assad and say he's a murderer, he's a killer. And now, look, we got the Al-Qaeda terrorist in charge. So, Tim, your thoughts on that? Another question.
Well, I mean, we're not to take away from your guys' point, but you were talking about Israel there, and this isn't like a hardball gotcha, but I want you to just kind of clarify your positions on Israel, because I get a little confused, and I know you're not in support of this war, and Rex and I have the standpoint that Israel has clearly had a lot of influence in this conflict, but then I see pictures of people trying to post pictures of you with like a Israeli and American flag pin and those types of things, and I'm guessing those photos are from the past. Can you just clarify kind of where your position is at and what those photos of people of just criticizing you are alluding to?
Absolutely, Tim. Thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. So that photo was taken shortly after October 7th, which was a tragedy. Anytime you kill thousands of innocent lives, whether they're Israeli, whether there was Americans there as well, there were Thai, Cambodian foreign workers who were killed in that awful attack. A friend gave that to me and I wore it in the month or so after this heinous attack by Hamas on innocent individuals. And so I'm not going to apologize for wearing a flag pin, especially after that attack. Now that flag pin, I think, often is worn by people who try to suggest that the U.S. is somehow in a great allyship with Israel. That is clearly not the case. I've never said that. I've never advocated for U.S. military aid going to Israel. The purpose of me wearing that pin while American citizens were being held hostage in Israel, or rather in Gaza by Hamas, was to call the world leaders to help bring those hostages home, something that President Trump rightly called for at the time. And I believe that President Biden and Vice President Harris were not doing enough for. And so with respect to, I think, the larger conversation, which is, well, you know, where did this guy come from? He's saying all the right things. What's up with that? Is this. I will always change my mind when the facts change. I was never some staunch supporter of Netanyahu or Israel. I never really had many public views about this. People will point to a debate I had with the one and only Destiny back in 2024, in which I said that Iran should not be able to fund proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas to attack Israel. I still stand by that. I don't think, you know, wherever you stand on Israel, pro or anti, you should not want a theocratic radical regime funding proxies that attack anyone in the region. And so I think there's a bigger, broader conversation that a lot of people want to have, which is, well, you were saying one thing and now you're saying something different. And yeah, guilty as charged. When the facts change, when Israel bombs the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza City, things change. My mind will change. When Netanyahu comes out and never accepts responsibility, never delivers accountability for that attack on Christians, when he goes out just last week and denies access to His Eminence Cardinal Piazzaballa, access to this holy church in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, of course, I'll call that out. And so, of course, my views will change on this. But I think what matters most is that Americans unite under a universal fact that whether you are pro-Israel or anti-Israel, perhaps even if you're apathetic or indifferent, we should all believe the fact that no American should be sent to die in a war for Israel.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think more people need to have the belief system that your ideas can change with information.
We talk about that October, all the time.
Yeah, October 7th happened. I vividly remember exactly how it happened. I was watching the videos, the clips as they were coming out. And the average American was pro-Israel at that time because it was just an awful, heinous act. Call it a false flag or whatever. You just saw a bunch of kids dancing and having a good time, and then you just see people hunting them down with AK-47s and you just see
the drones and missiles. I think the thing that you're referring to is the potential of a green flag operation. We had an Israeli citizen on our show, and we listened to him talk about this, and he's like, look, I understand the military of my nation. I understand our borders. We have a helicopter base 20 minutes from here. We've had Green Berets on my dad's show talk about it. I mean, there's this 8-hour period where they're just being slaughtered by Hamas and nothing gets done. And we just see these wars always work out, not for the citizens of the country, whether that be Iran, America, or Israel. It's always in service to the regime, yeah, to the government. I think people want peace and Americans want to be respected. Do you see that hunger as well?
I do. And I think there were serious questions about whether there was a stand down order from Netanyahu or a high ranking Israeli official on October 7th, because it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And you'll remember, Rex and Tim, that the early hours of October 7th, there were videos, extremely raw graphic videos shared on X,
yes,
of just how heinous. I remember there was one, and again, pardon the graphic nature of this, but there was one where a Hamas fighter went into a barber shop and there was a Filipino expat worker, and with a gardening hoe, chopped his head off while he was alive. And so, of course, that kind of tragedy should be condemned fully. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, yeah, Americans do hunger for peace. We don't want to be involved in these wars. Yeah, it's cool to see rockets and fighter jets and all of that. We want, I think what President Trump did rather successfully in December with Venezuela is we want a war, or a short-term conflict rather, that actually does something meaningful for Americans. Look, Maduro was a dangerous guy who didn't just kill innocent Venezuelans. He's responsible for the death of thousands of Americans. This is a guy, you guys have talked about it, who opened the prisons in Venezuela, the most dangerous gang-banging thugs, and then sent them to the United States under the guise of an asylum, open border nonsense from Kamala Harris, who was the border czar. And they came over, they took over condominiums, they flooded our streets with cheap addictive drugs like fentanyl. And so Venezuela was responsible for that. Maduro was responsible for that. And what did President Trump do? He sent the Delta Force down there to capture this guy and to bring him to trial in New York City. So that's the kind of military conflict that we want to see. It's in, it's out. There's a clearly defined objective and exit strategy. And most importantly, it is in the strategic benefit of the average American citizen. The average American citizen doesn't want trendy Aragua gang members taking over their local condominium complex or pushing cheap fentanyl counterfeits on teenagers in the community. And so my fear, though, Tim, is that what happened in Venezuela, such a successful operation then, ended up deluding the administration and senior advisors of the president into thinking that what was going to happen in Iran was going to be just as easy, just as seamless, an in and out. I genuinely think that the president thought, yes, that the mullahs of Iran were going to surrender in 48 or 72 hours. But these Iranian hardliners, I mean, they will go down with the ship. They do not care. The Venezuelans are not principled. They're not ideological in that sense. They're good people. But the leaders themselves, they're willing to throw in the towel. I mean, Maduro, you saw he came out with the track shoot. They let him change. He was perfectly content doing that. He did not fight. He did not kick. He did not scream. And that is very different than the way Iranian theocratic clerics will act.
We got this mafia in our own hemisphere, and they do a quick military operation. I would consider it to be a war, and I don't support the operation, but it's in our hemisphere. It's Monroe Doctrine. There's an argument logically that can be made for it. And we see this conflict thousands of miles away. These are, as Lindsey Graham puts it, you know, religious Nazis. And what do you think you're going to do when you declare war on them? They're going to fight until they're all dead.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of our own hemisphere, you know, we're seeing the military capacity of what we can do. Okay.
Right.
One thing that I've always been curious, and maybe James, you can touch upon this, is why haven't we actually gone after the real problems like the cartel in Mexico? I mean,
yes,
they're actually killing Americans if you really think about it. Like, we're not really having a 9/11 or a terrorist attack, but we have, millions of people dying from fentanyl overdoses and cocaine and those types of things. And Trump has signaled, like, I want to crack down on these things where, I mean, except for like Venezuela, where he said it was coming from there, which is a complete lie. It comes from China and Mexico. That's majority of fentanyl. But like for you, like, don't you think that we should be using those resources and intelligence operations to take out people who are actually bad for the American people and the Mexicans themselves right at our doorstep?
Absolutely. And if this were a military conflict right now where we were using Reaper drones to drop bombs on Mexican cartels, absolutely. That is a good use of money and a good example of how we need to operate in our own hemisphere for the benefit of American citizens. Again, we're killing 100,000 people every single year with drug overdoses. And those precursors to fentanyl that are actually from China that are shipped to ports on the Pacific Ocean in Mexico that create counterfeit versions of whether it's Adderall, Percocet, Vicodin, they're pressed fentanyl pills that are made to look like popular drugs in the United States of America. People take them, and because of this addictive poison, they die very, very quickly. And so that's a very good use of kinetic force if you want to drop a bomb on cartels to stop them from being able to flood our streets with cheap addictive poison. That's a compelling strategic interest. That does not require $200 billion from the Pentagon. In fact, that operation could be done in an entire weekend, knock out the cartels. But again, that would not be to the benefit of the Greater Israel Project. That would not be the benefit of Raytheon stock price. So again, why are we doing these things? That's an important question we have to ask ourselves.
That's a super high level geopolitical narco trafficking rundown, how we're going to stop it, potential futures and causality there. On the street, when you're talking to people, and they may not be as politically locked into monitoring the situation or whatever it's called, like all of us are, and honor to them. You got a life, got a family, you got a wife and kids. Take care of them, obviously, and all this stuff is really depressing to think about. What are they asking you for in relation to all these things? Are they asking you to look at the cartels in Mexico? Are they asking you to look at these conflicts that we're getting ourselves in? But what are they asking for domestically in relation? Where do they want that money to go? Instead of the wars, what are they looking to fund?
Well, that's a great question. I put out this video a couple weeks ago where I said that just as the New York Times was reporting that the Pentagon, led by Secretary Hegseth, wanted $200 billion to fund this war, I thought this war was supposed to be over in just a matter of weeks. You don't ask for $200 billion, which, by the way, is more than we spent in the first full year of the Iraq war, if the war is supposed to de-escalate and come to an end in just a matter of weeks. That's the first point. But I put out this video, and I'll ask you this, Rex. Would you rather, if we're going to spend $200 billion, and I don't think we have to, but if we're going to spend $200 billion, would you rather bomb Iran for Israel, or would you rather build 1,300 rural hospitals? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Israel, or rather Iran for Israel, or would you rather raise the teacher pay of the best teachers in America by $65,000? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Iran for Israel, or would you rather offer down payment assistance for 20 million young couples who are looking to start a family but don't have a home, and that is delaying their family plans? And so I'm not a big fan of spending money, period, as we're staring down a $40 trillion national debt. The average American will end up having to pay $135,000 of that debt, borrowing from the communists in China, borrowing from everyone in the world, including our enemies, and then putting and saddling that debt on our children and grandchildren. But if the question gun to your head is how are we going to spend $200 billion, I'd much rather raise the pay of first responders, firefighters, TSA workers, public school teachers, police officers, build rural hospitals, and of course, offer down payment assistance. I mean, this is the perennial struggle in politics, is that when we were sending $200 billion to Israel or $300 billion to Ukraine for them to lose a war, rather humiliatingly, no one ever asked, where are we going to get the money from? But if I come out and I say, we're going to do down payment assistance for 30,000 Florida couples every single year, the Poindexter in Tallahassee or DC wants an immediate Excel spreadsheet for how we're going to pay for every single penny of it.
Yes.
And so this is the dilemma of the double standard, is when the neocons want money for their forever wars to fight Russia or fight Iran, no one bats an eye at $200 billion here, $300 billion there. But when we quite literally only want 1/100th of that to fund programs for the exclusive benefit of American citizens, everyone could not be more apoplectic.
Yes.
Except the voters on the ground, except hardworking Americans. And so that's, I think, the question is people want to see money spent here. It was interesting. You might have seen this over the past weekend. Secretary Rubio was criticizing the Iranian regime. He said, you know, they're spending all of this money on bombs when they could be building schools and hospitals. And I said, sounds very interesting. We should apply that same logic as well. Look, I'm all for bombing countries if they want to hurt us.
I'm not okay with
bombing countries if they're not a threat.
I totally agree. It's time for the American people to be prioritized. The citizens feel that. We all have a hunger for it. We need it. We see the money being spent, and it's not being spent at home. It's not being spent on us. It's being spent to perpetuate these further conflicts so that transnational capital interests and the big banks, the big donors to political parties, political campaigns, so that they can keep and stay rich and make more money off other people's pain. We're going to be right back with James Fishback here. We're going to a network break. I want to remind you, the AlexJonesStore.com. is the place to get all your vitamins, minerals, supplement needs. That's thealexjonesstore.com. We got 40% discounts, 30% discounts on all your top products right now. You're going to want to find them. You're going to want to check it out. Fishback returns here with us shortly. Thank you very much.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to thealexjonesstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
For as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years, and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had
Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or sell them for like $40. We'll be right back.
American Journal, almost done in the books. We have the James Fishback gubernatorial Floridian candidate running against Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds, we are looking forward to asking you some more questions. Tim, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so, well, before we get that, we're going to take callers during the second half on the bottom.
Oh, yes, yes. I totally forgot. Just go ahead and read out that number. It's my bad. Tim, before the break ended, you were like, read the caller number. I was like, sure, I got it. And then it just flies out of my head. The call-in number for the show after our interview, that's 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. That is the call-in number for the show on display now. Back to the interview.
Okay, so James, I just have a couple of questions for you because you're very popular on social media right now, and videos are circulating every single day. And I just, you know, not a lot of people get the behind the scenes for you to be able to clarify positions, those types of things. The more recent one that I'm seeing, and it may have been a day or two ago, people are making a really big fuss over the use of the word lynch with this black guy. And for me, I'm the African American here. I looked at it. I didn't take any real offense to it. I kind of understood what you were saying. But again, there was enough people that were like, that's a very specific choice of words to use there. And this isn't a gotcha. It's just, I want you to be able to talk about what you really meant.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. I actually regret the use of my word lynch there, not because he was black, I would have said it for anyone else, but because lynching is extrajudicial by its nature. You bypass court, you bypass a fair trial, you just quite literally go kill someone because you're upset. So I, of course, regret saying something that would bypass legitimate due process. I do think that when someone is coming up to you with a mob of people at 10 p.m. at night in downtown Orlando and repeatedly suggesting that you are guilty of a capital crime, that's pretty messed up. And I think that generally speaking, that is the kind of behavior that we cannot tolerate in society. You know, trying to incite violence against someone because you don't like them politically. Look, it's okay if you don't vote for me, but to suggest that I've committed a capital crime when there's absolutely no evidence of that, that's, you know, I go back to that thinking very biblical in the Old Testament is that, you know, if you're guilty of a capital crime, you should be put to death. And if you're falsely accusing someone of a capital crime, that you too should be put to death. And so I regret that word choice mainly because I don't support any form of capital punishment that is extrajudicial, that bypasses legitimate due process in a fair trial.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of pressure, you know, when you're in the mainstream, the lights, the cameras, those types of things for things to be said. The other thing that I was very curious about was, also, there was the whole lawyer situation debacle. I tried to understand that, but I was like, you know, I might as well just ask him to clarify. And a lot of people have been giving you flack.
I wanted to know too.
Yeah. And he wanted to know too. Again, these aren't gotcha moments. It's just, okay, what's happening there where I guess you didn't want to pay the lawyer.
Because he lost
the case. So what happened there? Like from your standpoint?
It's a good question. So my standpoint is when you bring a lawyer on, you don't just expect them to win. You at the very least expect them to follow deadlines and basic procedure. And so my lawyer ended up missing a ton of deadlines, ended up losing the case for a lot of reasons that had nothing to do with the merits of the case, but purely poor procedure. And so I advised him I was going to be discontinuing his services and I wouldn't be paying him for the very simple reason that if you go to a restaurant and you ask for your steak to be medium rare and they give it well done, you shouldn't be expected to pay. And so it's not about whether the steak was good or whether I ate it, because I didn't. It was about whether or not this guy had followed basic protocol. And I think if, you know, your people out there are kind of taking the side of a lawyer, taking the side of a lawyer who makes $8 million a year personally and over a $150,000 legal bill for just a couple months worth of work. You know, he's not suing me or anything like that, but we just made it very clear that I'm not going to continue using those legal services at those high rates if he's not going to follow basic court procedures. And that's exactly what I did.
Okay. So one thing on that then, cause sometimes there are legal agreements and structure before you go into an agreement with a lawyer where, you know, if he doesn't win the case, they don't win a certain amount of money. Also, the regular way that it typically goes, if I'm not mistaken, is it's win or loss. They typically expect you to make payments towards whatever services.
They get a percentage
of the bounty. Was it the first case that I'm understanding of how you guys had it structured, or you really just felt like he was doing a very bad job that it just didn't justify the payment?
It was the latter. He was doing a very bad job that didn't justify the payment. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you go out and you contract someone to go cut your lawn and they cut your lawn and they screw it up, you can give them an opportunity to recut it. I can't give this lawyer an opportunity to go back and retry this case, which I thought was an absolute winner. I thought we had a great argument for the case. So, you know, it's unlike you go to a restaurant, hey, let's redo the steak. They can redo it. You pay for it. You go get your lawn cut. You come back in 2 months, you redo it. But something like this, you quite literally can't do a redo. And so I'll end up suffering a lot more than he'll lose on $150,000.
So if I don't misunderstand, he torpedoed the case in your view.
Yeah. What did he actually
do?
View,
yeah.
What did he actually do that bothered you the most during that case? Cause if I understand, you were going and trying to countersue or sue somebody for something, right? And he was the one taking on your case for that.
That's right. I mean, I won't bore you with the specifics, but there's a lot of legal arguments that he did not want to use that would have been used rather successfully for the case, a lot of deadlines that were missed, so on and so forth. I think generally speaking, you've got lawyers in this country that are trying to rake people over the coals for hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's frivolous lawsuits happening every single day. And I think that we get to a point in the profession where someone's trying to get $150,000 for a couple months worth of work, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I take the approach that President Trump takes, which is, if you screw up, you shouldn't get paid. If you do a great job, you should absolutely get paid and perhaps even then some.
I mean, I'll give you this for sure. Like, I mean, the legal system and the lawyers, there are some predatory acts that happen in that industry and the astronomical prices that it costs to get a retainer for certain cases.
It's
and I've seen, and I've seen people lose cases to where just for the retainer, it was $30,000 just to get started. And I'm like, you know, they're using AI now to do the paralegal job. So I'm like, okay, is there a real calculation or an ROI to understand what you're really paying?
I don't think that there is. Just like our medical system, I think this is something that absolutely needs to be changed, where they just go, oh, we decide what the surgery costs. There is no guideline. There is no actual maximum. We decide what the medication costs. There is no guideline. We're the ones that actually write the guideline. I wanted to ask you about this. Speaking of writing the guidelines, we have this massive OnlyFans industry. Okay, that's profiting and doing a lot of predatory things to both people that post on the platform and the people that consume that type of media. You've talked about a sin tax, a 50% tax on OnlyFans creators in your state. How does that factor into things? Tell me about your view on that.
Well, my view is that young women are capable of anything they put their minds to, and that young women should not be told that they should abandon their dreams and aspirations of being a devoted stay-at-home mom or a teacher or nurse to pursue an online career of selling nude images and videos to complete strangers on the internet. You know, if you tried to pay a prostitute on the side of the road to get nude for you and do a little dance, that would be illegal. And so it's no different to go send money to Sophie Ryan and have her do a little dance for you. That's not just legal. It's encouraged and celebrated in large parts of our country. And so my view is just because something is legal does not make it moral. It is a syntax first and foremost, Rex, because it is a sin for both the woman to produce adult content to draw men into lust and also for men to give into that lust and to pay women to see themselves nude. And so I went head to head with number one adult creator on OnlyFans, Sophie Rain. She had and I had a long conversation with Piers Morgan earlier this week, and it made it very clear is you can quit the online degeneracy of OnlyFans, or you can pay 50% tax on whatever money you make through that. We'll use that money to pay for infrastructure, to create programs that empower women and men, and to pay public school teachers who are doing everything right, pay them a little bit more. And so this is part of a view that I think the traditional class of Republicans fails to grasp. The traditional Republican will look at this and say, wait, I thought we're against raising taxes. No, we're against raising taxes on seniors, on young couples, on working families. We should never be shy, Tim, about raising taxes in a way that deters the degenerate, disgusting behavior known as OnlyFans.
And I understand. So my thing is, you know, if I look at this critically and analytically, over a certain amount of time, it would start with OnlyFans, but wouldn't this trickle down into other sectors, like you have strip clubs and other services that people, you've even got porn stars that are doing things. Like, how does this, cause you know, they would make the argument, you can't just tax us, you would have to tax everybody. And then you're looking at a situation where now you might have an entire like lobby of people coming after you. Have you thought about these situations too?
Yes, I have. And I think that's everything is on the table. I don't want to see strip clubs in our state. I don't want to see porn stars do well in our state. I want to get back to a state where a young family can raise their family on a single income, can buy a home before the age of 30, can work 40 hours a week and not live in poverty. And then when it's all said and done, Tim, retire with dignity. Everything else, whether it's OnlyFans or strip club or liquor store, anything else is a distraction from that. And so there's this, again, this prevailing wisdom that you can't legislate morality. Of course you can, and of course you should, because if you don't consciously, intentionally legislate morality, immorality, evil, that is going to reign instead, and we cannot allow that to happen.
It sounds like, from what we discussed today, that I need to vote for Byron Donalds because I want porn stars, I want data centers, I want foreign influence in local and federal government. I support all of these things. You're coming out here saying we need to prioritize the American people and all that. I don't know where that comes from. That's some kooky conspiracy theory. In closing, I know, Tim, you probably have one more thing you want to ask.
No, I don't really have any more questions. It's more so like I appreciate you coming on, having the conversations. The whole reason of me asking those questions is because a lot of people just say things in a vacuum, and more often than not, people don't actually know what that person means. So for me, I want to always give every single person the benefit of the doubt before they're accused of anything.
Right? And that's fair. That's fair. It's like you talk about the biblical punishment for false accusation. Totally agree. And that's such a key point. If you're going to accuse somebody of a heinous crime, then also, you know, if you do that falsely, that's a heinous crime as well. I think that's a bona fide point you made.
Anything else for you in closing, James?
I just want to say, Tim, that, you know, I appreciate both you and Rex giving me the opportunity to come on. I'm wishing everyone a very meaningful and blessed Good Friday. And I'm always going to take time to think about my words, my word choice, and think about how we can make sure that this campaign is one that is positive. I'll tell you, the grievance politics of both the left and the right, it's gotten old and fast. We are sick of Democrats like Hillary Clinton calling Trump supporters deplorables, but we're also sick of the woke right, the Israeli operatives now calling anyone who disagrees this war a traitor to the country. And so we need to have a politics of unity. I think that when you react the way that I did earlier this week, that was not something that was unifying or civil. I regret my word choice, but I don't regret the fact that if you're going to accuse somebody of a capital crime falsely, that you too should be sentenced to the same punishment of the person if they were in fact guilty of that crime. I think we need to get to a point in society where no one should bear false witness or slander someone in the public square.
Beautiful. Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter as well to everyone listening to us. The Floridians out there, you're running a really hard grassroots campaign. You're out there every day. James Fishback, thank you so much for joining us
today. Yeah, we will definitely have you on again. Go ahead and follow James Fishback if you haven't on X, J Fishback. We appreciate having him on the show.
Yes,
we're about to take your calls, guys, because we've unpacked a lot today.
Yes, it was
and
heavy.
We want to hear from you.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go and see if we got any callers.
Oh, I know we got callers on the board today. Let's go ahead and go to Ben in Indiana. Ben in Indiana, what's on your mind?
Good morning, y'all. I just wanted to say God bless you both. I really appreciate how you guys are current with not just, you know, I'm a millennial. I don't agree. I'm not this, you know, hippie, fun-loving millennial. I am a Christian man, and I really appreciate how you guys are always current with what I'm looking at. It feels like I'm talking to you guys every day.
Awesome.
And I really, and Mr. Fishback, I hope he wins. I have aligned with him since I first heard about him, and I appreciate his stance on a lot of things and not afraid to answer questions. Like you guys said, you know, you want to get the clearance out there for what he actually stands for, because a lot of grifters are out here, you know, it's like Trump, what he's done, you know, said one thing and did a complete other once he got in.
Yes.
I just wanted to go ahead.
No, you're all just agreeing with you, Tim, your thoughts.
No. We appreciate the feedback, and we really just love doing this, and we really do care about giving you guys information and bringing on good guests. Anything else that's on your mind?
Really quick, it's a great honor to hear you say that. It feels like you're in the room talking with us, hanging out with us. That's what this is all about, man. Thank you so much. In closing,
no problem. Just want to bring up how Larry Loomer's calling to go after Turkey, and that's a monster you do not want to mess with. They're still very much like the Ottoman Empire. They're bloodthirsty, and they are going to do the same thing as Iran, but they have so much more of army, military capabilities and technology. And it's just, you know, I'm sick of these. You know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate all Jews. I don't hate anybody. You know, if you have hate in your heart for another person to commit murder. You know, and I'm just sick of these, you know, other religions calling and trying to tell us what to do with our nation instead of realizing, you know, I just turned 35, you know, and I have two young boys that I want a future for, that I don't want them to be afraid because, oh, you know, if they speak out against something and live in facts instead of the theories and ideologies, you know, it's ridiculous, you know. So again, thank you guys so much. And God bless you, and have I don't believe in Easter. I believe in the resurrection. So, you know, happy Resurrection Week. You know, God bless you guys and your journey. And thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Let's go to number 7, Chad in Minnesota, the deep dive on Ukraine. Let's talk about that. Chad, you're on the air.
Hey, Tim. First time caller with you. Second time with Rex. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate
all the hard work you're putting in and putting out the truth. Doing an excellent job.
How you feel about these deep dives, man?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great that you go back to Ukraine, because now, you know, we're getting buried with Iran. And one point I wanted to make, I really appreciated all of everything that you covered, but there's a part and an aspect with Victoria Nuland and Senator Rubio at the time. And it was back in March of 2022. Where at the Senate Foreign Council hearing, they actually had her on and interviewed her, or, you know, put her up, and she was asked by Rubio if Ukraine has any biolabs, which you would think, you know, probably that they're not going to admit it, and she admitted to that, and Rubio put it back on that.
They have like a ton of them too.
Yeah, and in Georgia, you mentioned Georgia as well. There's lab information there as well that's shady, and that's the thing, is this information about labs, and, you know, it's just like, it's so deep. We have so much information that just gets buried by all of the news. It's just so hard to keep up.
Yes,
and I think that Victoria Nuland aspect, along with Marco Rubio, and trying to pin it back on to the Russians.
Here's the thing. We're pressed for time. We 100% agree with you. We thank you for enjoying the deep dives. We're going to do more on Victoria Nuland. We've made a note of the Ukrainian biolabs. Thank you so much, Chad. Let's go ahead and go to Godzilla on the Iran war. We got to keep it quick, Godzilla. We're stretched for time. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Rex. Yeah, I was wondering if you saw that video clip of Pete Hegseth giving a military officer a Masonic handshake.
No, I didn't see that. You think the secret society is involved?
Well, yeah, they have like secret handshakes and stuff. So that was one. It was a lot of the Masonic stuff going on. It's like the countries founded by Masons, like even Candace Owens has like a Masonic Bible on her desk. I don't know if you saw that.
I just made a note of it, as well as the Hegseth thing. Anything else in closing? We're just stretched for time. Not trying to cut you off.
No, you can go to another caller. We'll talk another time.
All right. I appreciate Godzilla. Call in next week when we're hosting. We'll take another call from you. Thank you, Godzilla. Oh, we got the Masonic handshake up on screen.
Let me see.
We got the Masonic handshake. He goes for it, I guess. I guess I missed it.
I didn't really see.
Oh, and he's got the, I think that's called the claw or something. Oh. Right? And that's something that like a Mason does. Let's go to Rob in Oregon. Rob in Oregon, you agree with us about the root cause. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the root cause, but you know, the root cause, Rex, is what our eyes are being taken off of right now. And I'm going to shift gears and just go right to it because of time. And basically we got Matt Gaetz and we've got Tim Burchett, Senator Burchett, coming out talking about the alien-human hybrid program that's been going on for a while. Senator Burchett made the comment that he's not suicidal if anything happens to him, and that people are coming up missing that know about this right now. It stems back to the UFO hearings that are currently going on. And now it's Toto got thrown a bone, and we're getting our eyes off of everything with reality, with the wars, everything that's going on to get our eyes off this. And the main thing is, if people don't think that the Luciferians have totally taken over and are infiltrated into the White House, into our mainstream, it is a main problem. And they're keeping our eyes on other things that are real. I mean, people are dying. But
yeah, people are dying, and we're being distracted from it. And there is that human alien hybrid stuff apparently coming out, like my dad talked about. We'll cover it more next show. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Van in Arizona. In closing, talking on topic about what we were just discussing with Fishback. What are your thoughts on the interview?
Fishback's great. Only heard about him a few months ago. Great, great, great candidate. I wish we had more in Arizona. But I had a question for him. Wanted to know if he had any ideas of like how we can make a list of all these politicians in America that are not loyal to the United States, that have either dual loyalty or dual citizenship.
We have that. It's called AIPAC Tracker. we have a version of that already. And the thing is, here's the thing. I agree with you. I think it's known already. I think we already have that info. It's just what do we do?
Yeah, we need to make it a big, huge point. The elections are coming up this year, and I think there's a couple more off ramps where we might be able to save this. I honestly think it's been gone, long gone. You know, in 2016, I'm like, how do we sustain this? And right. I voted Gary Johnson in 16. I voted Trump in 20. I voted Trump in 24. I feel so played out, and not worth it. A lot of people feel that way now, brother.
And we appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I want to get all the callers on the board. Sean in Colorado. Thank you very much. Sean in Colorado, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in response kind of to the guy that was calling in the other day with just nothing but hate full of Muslims.
Sure.
And it's just kind of sad. And I'm experiencing it with my own family. You know, it's divided. With people are just, you know, diehard Trump worshipers, whatever he does, you know, he can do no wrong. And it's really hard to deprogram some of these people in this generation. And within the church, especially, there's this huge problem.
What do you mean? I'll die for my president. I don't care if diesel goes up to $1,000. I'll die for my president. He is right about this war.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And you did a good job there, Rex, of keeping calm composure, because I was hoping you'd go into it, but there was a professionalism.
Here's the thing. We got one guy overt out in the open. This is my opinion. I want to kill all the evil Muzzies. I want them dead. We got another guy says the same things online, but says it's all a joke. What do these two things have in common? It's evil. It's evil to say these things about little children, about glassing entire countries, about, you know, slitting the throats of all the pigs. I mean, it's dehumanizing language. It's racism. And ultimately, it's the stuff we do at war to dehumanize the enemy, to make them an untermenschen, a subhuman, so we can take everything we have and kill them. And people are people. We all have souls. If you're a Christian, you're not allowed to talk like that. You're
close. And just the video that they have, go to my profile on X, Truism Tim. You can go watch the whole segment. This video's blowing up. If you want to catch what the caller's talking about, it's Rex between this guy and between him and some boomer. The guy's making outlandish claims here. But, go ahead.
30 seconds, your thoughts.
Yeah, Sean, we got to get off the air here shortly. So we only got a minute before, we come to the Alex Jones show. So.
Yeah, the folks just need to understand how close we are to Revelation, how close we are to fulfilling all of biblical prophecy. So people just need to get ready and have this open discussion about what's all getting really ready to be going down here with the mark of the beast, what's going on in Israel, you name it. But yes, we defeat the hate with love, and you can never.
Absolutely true. We kill the hate with love. That's what it's all about. It's about freedom. It's about actualizing your dreams. It's about going out there and claiming victory, not just for yourself, but for your family, your country, and everybody around you. The Alex Jones Show is coming up. You do not want to miss it. Hard-hitting info. American Journal did it again.
We will be back next week. Don't miss us.
We love you. We love you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.